Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. This show originally aired on the Premiere Networks on Saturday, October 27th, 2018. This is episode 1535. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Simply Safe. Protect your home and family with an A-plus home security system. To learn more about Simply Safe today, visit simplysafe.com/twit. And by PryLock Security. Teach your employees how to keep your company secure by avoiding phishing emails, candy drops, and social engineering. Show them how and why hackers attack with PryLock training. Go to PryLock.com/twit and use the promo code Leo to save 30%. And by JW Player, the most powerful and flexible video platform, enabling businesses, including Twit.tv, to customize a video experience on their website. To learn more and get 50% off your business subscription, visit jwplayer.com/twit and use the code TWIT at checkout. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Yay! Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography. We got smartphones. We got your smart watches. We got all that jazz. 8888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. That's toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada outside that area. You could still reach me. You just have to use your Skype or something like that. Skype keeps changing. Keeps changing all the time. 8888-ASK-LEO. We're very proud here in Northern California in Petaluma because, of course, it's Halloween. And in Halloween, we get the corn maze, of course. And I believe that is, I believe the corn maze is, in fact, the Bing picture of the day. If you go to Bing.com, we've made it to the big time, folks. Halloween corn maze. Now, though, I have to say, children will have a way out. We've never seen it from the above before. We can now get out of it. I did it last year for Halloween, and it was very scary. But I tested a theory, a mathematical theory, and I'll pass this along to you as a useful tool for your future maze endeavors. It's not the fastest way out necessarily, but it's the guaranteed way out, which is to put your hand on one side, left or right, and keep it there. Keep it there. Don't ever break contact and just keep walking. And when the maze turns, you go around. And when it turns, it go around. And you keep going. And eventually, you will get to the end. It is not the fastest way, but it is in a guaranteed way out. And it worked. This is a big maze. If you go to Bing.com, you can see it. And part of it, not even all of it. So we're very proud here in Petaluma. We have made the Bing. I got yesterday a new phone. Seems like that's the chant every week for the last few weeks, and it's probably going to be for a while. The new iPhone XR, which I have posited in the past, might be the right iPhone this year for everybody, or at least most people. It's a little bit bigger than the iPhone X, a little bit smaller than the XS Max. It is a lot cheaper than the XS Max. It's $750 for 64 gigs, which is frankly, unless you know you need more, all anybody should ever get. It's an LCD screen, and yes, people have to find something to complain about. One of the things they complain about is it has a little bitty bezel. Not bad. And it's still a pretty darn big screen. It is a glass back, and it's slippery, so it's a shame because this comes in colors. And I got the product red, and it is beautiful. It is just stunning. It has an aluminum frame, unlike the XS and XS Max, which have stainless steel. So I imagine it's going to be fairly vulnerable to dings and cracks. So you probably need a very nice case. It's a shame, isn't it? They make these expensive devices and then they make them slippery. What are they thinking? But the materials are so beautiful. Yes, somebody in the chat room, Punter Rab is saying it's sports car red. It is. There is a yellow, what the tech pundits are calling the banana phone. There's also a coral color. Looks like pink to me. That's what they should have called it. That would have been a good name. Looks like pink to me. There's a black, there's a white, and there's a kind of a baby blue. But honestly, don't you put this in a case? I mean, seriously? No, I got the black iPhone XS Max, and I just put it in a red case because I like red, but you can't tell what color the phone is. If you put it in a case, and you got to. Oh, well. This is, so what are you giving up for, saving $250? You're giving up the beautiful OLED screen of the iPhone XS and the XS Max. Can't tell the difference. And if you've not had an iPhone X, you won't tell the difference because you've had an LCD screen all this time, and Apple's saying, "Oh, it's a really good LCD screen, so don't feel left out. It's okay." The other thing you will give up, and that's kind of unfortunate, is the dual camera on the back. It's got a single camera. And I took a few pictures last night. And, I guess the only thing, you still can do portrait mode. You can do a lot of the things that the XS can do or the X can do. And the front-facing cameras, as far as I know, are exactly the same. So if the selfie cam is the same. It's the back camera. But I think the main thing you miss, there's two things. One is, of course, the telephoto lens. So you can't do that optical 2x zoom that you can do on a XS. And by the way, I should point out many other companies' phones. I looked at the Huawei P20 Pro a couple of nights ago, and it has like I think at least three Leica lenses on it. So one lens. On the other hand, the probably the best camera phone in the market today, which is the Pixel 3 XL, has only one lens. Apple says, well, we don't have that optical zoom, and we use that second lens for some picture-improving techniques, So, but a lot of the things that they're doing with the 10 are, like the pixel shifting that Google's doing, make it okay. I think it's perfectly fine. I think anybody who's coming from an older iPhone will be very happy with this. It has the same, no home button anymore, and has the same kind of, swiping. This is the new style for Apple. The new, instead of a home button, you swipe up to go home, and you swipe left and right to go to recents and all that stuff. And that's fine. I like that. I prefer that, frankly. So, it's got a notch. Who cares? And yeah, it's got a little bit of a bezel, but not bad. I think if you're going to be buying an iPhone this season, you might want to look at the XR. You might say, yeah, that might be the one. Save a little money. $750 starting point. Again, unless you know you need, more juice in here. Apple, this one does go to 128, which the iPhone XS's do not. So they go straight to 256 gigs of storage, which is an awful lot of storage. I like this. This XR is a nice phone. So now I have three phones. Well, four if you include the Note 9. I don't know what I'm going to do with them all. But at least I can talk. If you have questions about them, I got to get them so I can answer your questions, right? 8888 Ask Leo. That is my phone number if you have a question about smartphones. I resisted this for years. People wanted me to talk about phones. And for a long time I did, but after Apple came out with the iPhone, once these became computers, it really is still tech, right? It's a computer in your pocket. 888-827-5536. We could talk about that or anything going on in your tech world. There is a big Apple event coming up Tuesday. in Brooklyn, New York, at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. Oh, boy. Apple's going to announce, I'm almost positive, and Mark Gurman at Bloomberg has announced, and he knows, he's got the best sources ever anywhere inside Apple. He has said, well, it'll be two new iPads, the iPad Pros. It'll be the 10.5 and the 12.9, although the 10.5 will be closer to 11. He says they will use Type-C charging, not Lightning. And he also says they'll announce, yay, a new MacBook Air, a new low-cost Macintosh, under sub-$1,000 app Macintosh. And, he says, a new Mac Mini, which will have people cheering because the Mac Mini hasn't been updated in 4 years. I'll be there watching, not in, they don't invite me, but I wasn't going to go to Brooklyn anyway, but I'll be watching from afar, and I'll talk about it next week. Kim Schaffer's back, taking your calls. We'll go to the phones right after this. Love that. Rock and roll. Where are all the great rock bands these days? We need to bring back rock. 88 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. Is any, Michael, does any other radio show use that as a theme song? That's a pretty good theme song. That gets people going. Eye of the Tiger. 88 Oh, good. 8888 Ask Leo. Kim Schaffer, welcome back. What did you do? Anything fun?
No, I just told you I went and watched a wood being cut at a sawmill.
Wow.
It was so exciting.
Wow, you live large.
So large. Yeah, I get a day off, and that's what I do.
Well, we missed you. I'm glad you're back.
That song has special significance.
Eye of the Tiger?
Yeah. I was a mascot for my brother's Pop Warner football team cheerleader about 4 years old, and that was the halftime routine, was that song.
Is it too dated now? It might be too dated.
It's from the early 80s.
It's old.
Or maybe even the late 70s.
Gosh, is that wild.
Yeah.
It was the Rocky 3 theme, 4 theme, 5, 6, 7, 8 theme? 3. Michael Cozio, musical director, knows all. So, Kim, I know that now that you're here, you've been dying to answer phones. So we're going to...
You've got like 5 of them in front of you. I can answer those if you need me to.
No. I know. Is this ridiculous? I feel, you know, and it's conspicuous consumption, but I'm not doing it because I want to. I'm doing it to review them. And I don't like to, you know, most reviewers will just take loaner phones from the company, you know, get a 2-week loaner. And... a couple of things I don't like about that. One, when you do that, you're not really getting the experience of spending your actual money for a phone. So you miss out on the fun of spending $1,000.
Fun, yeah.
And that, well, but I think that these phones are so expensive now, it's important to feel that pain.
Do you think there's going to be, this is a personal question, but do you think there's going to be any Black Friday deals on iPhones?
Never.
Oh, darn.
The deals they give you are so pathetic. It's like, and get a $10 iMusic card.
Well, when I bought this 3 years ago, Costco was doing a $250 card, and that was on Black Friday. So that took like $250 off.
Yeah, so sometimes a merchant will do that to get you in the door, right? Yeah. That's not Apple discounting it. No. The merchant's just saying, well, we'll do something. Well, that's pretty good, though. $250,
yeah.
Well, I don't know. So I shouldn't say no. We'll find out. We're getting close. The other reason I buy these phones is because you can't in 2 weeks really get a sense of what it's like to use them. Problem is now, I don't really want to carry 4 phones with me. So I'm trying to figure out some rotational method.
Do you have 4 phone numbers or 5?
I do. Oh, but the limit is 5 because I use Google Voice. And you can have one Google Voice number call 5 different phones. So that's kind of what I do. And that way, you ought to be in here when somebody calls me. All four phones
ring.
And they all have different ringtones.
Yeah.
Well, they have to, otherwise.
Yeah, John will call you right now. Let's test this out.
No, I've got them all muted. That's the other downside. When I get to work, I got a lot of work to do to mute all these phones.
Yeah.
And since they all really look exactly the same, they're all just black glass slabs. Mm-hmm. I have to always think, okay, how do I mute this one? How do I mute this one? It's easy with the, I have
the
to
Apple
say.
The Apple is easy.
Yeah, thank goodness. The Apples still have a physical switch, which is really the right way to do it. Anyway, enough about my phone situation. We have real telephones people can call. 8888-ASK-LEO, and you've been answering them. And who should we address?
Cheryl in Alexandria, Virginia, thinks that one of her friends got Facebook hacked, or maybe she did. She's not really sure.
Oh,
she wants to know what precautions she needs
to take. She wants to know what happened.
Aside from just deleting it like you, I guess.
Yeah. Thank you, Kim.
You're welcome.
Hi, Cheryl, Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi. Thanks a whole lot. Listen, this morning I got a Facebook Messenger message from somebody that I know casually. I'm Facebook friends with them, but this was the first Facebook Messenger that I had ever gotten from them, and I accepted it and started a little bit of conversation, but then got suspicious. And sadly, this couple had built their retirement home in New Bern, North Carolina, that got flooded so badly. And
sorry.
This was, you know, somebody trying to take advantage of that with money. But was it her Facebook that was hacked? Was it did somebody, she has a very common name, did somebody just take her name and invent an account? And has my phone now been hacked? Has my Facebook, how do I clean up this, and how does she clean it up?
So many questions. So, and I don't blame you for worrying these days. We all know that Facebook was, in fact, vulnerable, and at least 30 million people got their Facebook account hacked. So there are a couple of ways people do this particular kind of thing. The first one and the easiest one for them is to impersonate somebody. And that Facebook makes it fairly easy. I've had it happen to me at least several times. Because if you have a Facebook page, they can take, you know, anything that's public. And for most people, that's a lot. The images, the banner, your, you know, personal information. And create a new account with a slight difference. They can't use your exact same account name. But since a lot of people don't assign a name to a Facebook account, it's pretty easy to do this. So, because they can make it the same name, you know, the public name is just the web page has to be different. You know, the official link has to be different. So if your name is Emily G. Johnson, there may be 10, as you know, there may be 10,000 Facebook pages for an Emily G. Johnson. And if it has the same pictures, same profile picture, it's almost impossible to distinguish it. So that's the most likely scenario. The second most likely scenario is that they got hacked. And as I said, Facebook announced 30 million people were hacked due to a flaw in Facebook. They've reset all those accounts. So even though they had been hacked, unless somebody used that opportunity to take the account over, it's you know, not. And it's hard to get your account hacked. Although, you know, if you use a password like monkey123, an easily guessed password, that's also possible. So it might not be a bad idea to contact that person out of band, you know, on a phone call or a message or an email message, and say, hey, just question, was this you? Do we have a conversation? It sounds like you know that it isn't. So that's a case where you might say, hey, it's been hacked. Now, have you been hacked? Unless you clicked a link and downloaded something or were taken to a kind of fraudulent page, no. Just getting a message is harmless. But do be careful about links in these messages, because they can link, you know, the bad guy wants to run a program on your system. So they can link to malicious pages or malicious programs and hack you. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello.
So, yeah. And then what? Did you ever click a link or download anything? Did they send you to a website for raising money or anything like that?
They wanted to, and I did not jump at any of that.
You're so smart, Cheryl. Good for you.
Listening to you, sir.
Yeah. No, that's very good. Now, you can't always, your Facebook account has almost certainly not been hacked.
Okay.
The reason it's worrisome is that whoever did this knows their friends, right? Now,
yes.
It's possible that their Facebook page is so public, and you can set it this way, that people can see their other friends. That's actually, I think, the default. So if you go, I don't have one anymore, I deactivated it, but if you went to my Facebook page in the olden days, you could see all the people who had friended me. So it would be a trivial matter to just send a message to all of them from another account.
Okay.
So yeah, you got to be really careful. You have the appropriate suspicion. And it is a common scam. In fact, somebody in the chat room just put a link into a report from New York, WABC TV in New York, about a woman who exactly how this got hacked and scammed out of her life savings. So,
ooh.
Yeah. But this was one of those cons where they say, you know, I have $1 million. I have $1 million I want to give you, but you have to give me some money first.
Exactly. Okay.
You're not going to do that. You're no fool.
No, sir.
Yeah. You know, if you wanted to do some detective work, you could see what the page that message links to is, and if it really is the genuine page. If it is, you should tell them they've been hacked.
Okay. Great. Okay.
Hey, it's great to talk to you. Thanks for raising awareness, Cheryl.
Thanks a lot, sir.
Take
care.
Bye-bye. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, and that bump, the bump, the bump music means Scott Wilkinson is in the house. Scotty is our home theater geek, the king of home theater. And, you know, we were talking a few weeks ago about that Hisense dual laser 100-inch projection TV.
Oh, yeah.
Which looks so good. The problem is it's these 100-inch TVs are so darn expensive. You kind of want to get the best.
Well, that's true. You know, this Hisense is 10 grand.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Which is a lot of money, yeah. You know. It's not when you compare it to a 100-inch LCD TV.
Right.
Which would be more, typically.
Right.
I mean, if they even existed, you could easily get into the five figures, more than the bottom of the five figures. So,
right.
You know, it's a judgment call, as usual.
Depends how much you just like watching football on the big screen.
Well, there's that, yeah, on a big screen TV with a bunch of people over.
Well, and that's what these are better for. It's not a movie. It's not a home theater experience.
That is correct.
It's a party experience.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Exactly yeah. right. Yeah. Exactly.
So
right.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail your subject for
that's
today.
Okay. I've got a couple of reader listener questions that I wanted to address.
Yes.
One is from James, or Big Jim, as he goes by, who listened a few weeks ago. I was talking about bias lighting. Remember that?
Yeah.
Where you, in a dark room, you really want to have a light on behind your big screen TV in order to prevent eye fatigue. And I had mentioned a company called CinemaQuest, which makes the bias lights I like. They're LED-based. They're dimmable. And I mentioned that they were $30 or $40. Well, I was misremembering. They are, in fact, on the order of $60. So a little bit more expensive. And I just wanted to make that clear that that I had just misremembered.
How do you do that? So it's behind the TV.
Yep.
Is the light shining against the wall? No, it can't
yes.
because it is.
Yes, yes.
So you need a neutral
right.
wall then.
Correct. And in fact, Big Jim said he may end up painting his walls Munsell gray, which is this very neutral gray.
That's hardcore.
But that's hardcore. My theater is painted Munsell gray.
Wow.
But I'm hardcore. You know?
What is it, 30% gray?
Well, mine is 19% gray.
Well, of course, yours is
19% reflective. That is, of the light hitting it, 19% reflects off of it. So,
yes.
You know, almost 80%, over 80% is absorbed. So it when it's dark in there, it's a black hole. It's really dark.
But then do you have to buy brighter lights? I don't understand.
No, you don't have to buy brighter lights. That's not a problem. But again, mine is a dedicated theater.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And if you're in a living room, you're not going to paint your living room Munsell gray. I know.
No, that's depressing.
That's very depressing. And yeah, he says he currently has a light brownish paint, but he has a blackout fabric to make it dark. And this is another way to do it, is to place a blackout fabric behind the screen on the wall so that at least one wall or maybe even paint it the one wall Munsell gray. Now, that'll look weird with light brown walls elsewhere, but that's a decorator problem. I'm not concerned with decorator problems. I'm concerned with an accurate viewing environment.
I have a couple of news stories I thought you might be kind of interested in. One, I thought, very good news. If you've bought movies in the Google Play Store, they are up, as Apple did, they are upgrading them from HD to 4K at no cost automatically.
Excellent.
4K marches on. Meanwhile, VR kind of marches backwards. IMAX has announced that they are going to close their New York VR center, and IMAX says no new virtual reality investments for 2019.
Wow. You know, the IMAX has one of those centers here in L.A., and I was thinking about going to one.
That's the problem. Everybody was thinking.
Thinking about going.
Nobody went.
Well, you know, most of the, I looked at their website, actually, and I saw that most of them are, you know, shoot 'em up type things or really scary
type action movies. Yeah.
They're action stuff. And I just want to go and, you know, be in a world and have it be beautiful. But then, you know, I guess, I don't know.
I misspoke. Not movies, but VR experiences, right?
Experiences. Yeah. Yes, correct. But you bring up an interesting point, and that is, I've always thought, it wouldn't it be cool to put on a high resolution VR headset and watch a movie as if you were watching a 50-foot screen at a movie theater.
Right.
But there have been a couple companies that have tried to do that, but it never took off. And I think one reason is, even now, VR goggles, the best VR goggles you can buy, are still pretty low res.
Right.
You can see the pixels.
Yeah, because they're right. They're inches from your eyes, of course.
Right there next to your eye, exactly. Right. It takes me right out of the action, right out of the story of the movie's trying to tell me. So I just say, nah.
Does anybody sell a non-4K TV now? Is that one of the reasons this is happening? That's what you buy when you buy a TV.
That's what it seems like now. At the extreme low end.
So you could buy a 32-inch HD TV.
Very small, and at the bottom of a company's lineup, you could still buy an HD TV.
But I told you, I bought my mom a 55-inch TCL TV. It was, I think, last year's model, not their high-end model. But it was 55 inches, 4K, for $327.
Uh-huh. Yeah. The prices of 4K TVs have dropped so fast. I mean, I don't know. You probably remember when HD or 1080p first came out. They were very expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And that price fell pretty quickly, but not this low.
This is amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah. So
one reason, you know why, of course.
No.
8K is on the horizon and coming towards us really fast.
Sony's selling an 8K TV now.
Samsung.
Samsung. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to play on it, right?
Well, no. Although NHK, I was at a tech conference this weekend, and NHK said they're going to start regular 8K satellite broadcasts next year.
Samsung's 8K QLED, 85 inches, is $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 8K.
That's right.
You can be the first in your neighborhood.
2 years from now, it'll be 5K.
Exactly.
$5,000.
Exactly. Hey, Scott Wilkinson, thank you so much. He's our home theater geek, joins us every week at this time, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And if you listen to our podcast, which you can get at twit.tv, Scott continues during the commercial breaks for the next couple of minutes. So there's a little extra Scott content on the podcast.
Woo-hoo.
Thank you, Scott. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Wow. So why would you just buy this for bragging rights? There's no sensible reason to buy an 8K TV.
Well, that's not entirely true.
Oh, really?
No. There are a number of studies about human visual perception that indicate that even at a normal distance from a normal size screen, 8K does give you a greater sense of depth and realism.
Huh.
It's a difficult thing.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. But there are studies that do indicate this is in fact the case.
So it would be worth getting this.
It would be worth getting. Yeah, exactly. Now you are right that there's virtually no content. As I say, NHK in Japan is going to be starting a regular broadcast service in Japan by satellite. But nobody in the U.S. is going to be able to see that.
But if you watch 4K content on HD TV, it looks better.
Yes. Primarily because of the quality of the video processing, and in particular, the upscaling.
Yeah, they say 8K AI upscaling.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And that is pretty impressive. They have AI, artificial intelligence, aspects built into this processor that learns how to do things better as it gets more and more images and processes more and more images.
Well, now I'm thinking instead of getting that Hisense, I should go a little smaller and get this.
Well, yeah, it's 50% more money.
Oh, money, shmoney. I just don't want to. Oh, man.
Truth be told, you know, that, I mean, well, my philosophy, my personal philosophy, unlike yours, is I never get the first, I never buy,
yeah,
I never invest in the first generation
that's,
or something.
That's a completely sensible point of view.
Yeah, but you're the tech guy.
Yeah, I kind of need to.
You kind of need
But I don't know if I, the thing is at 85 inches, this is pretty close to that 100 inches. I mean, it's
pretty darn close.
It's big.
You're right. Yep, it's mighty big.
It's direct
Much
view.
Heavier yeah. to hang on the wall than that simple screen.
True.
But it is almost as big. You're going to get much better HDR.
Right.
High dynamic range appearance. The Hisense does it, but it's not nearly as impressive because it doesn't get nearly as bright.
Right.
Not nearly by orders of magnitude. So, if you want to invest in the Samsung.
Have you seen it?
I have. It's gorgeous. Huh. It is beautiful. It's just beautiful. And the high dynamic range, man, oh, man, that is really something. Now, the one thing that you won't get is wide off-axis quality.
Right.
Samsung use, I don't know about the 8K particularly, but generally speaking, Samsung uses a type of LCD panel called VA, vertically aligned, which gives you better blacks, better contrast, but less good off-axis performance. So people off to the side watching the football game are going to see colors that are weird and contrast not so good, and it's just not going to be as good. Whereas on the Hisense, as you and I both saw.
Yeah, it looks so great off-axis.
You go off-axis, you can go almost 180 or 90 degrees off-axis, and it looks just as good as straight-on axis.
Is it nutty to buy something like this mail? Oh, we got a break, but is it nutty to buy something like that mail order?
Ooh, boy. Having an 85-inch flat panel shipped to you?
Yeah, I guess I could go. It looks like Best Buy has it in Santa Rosa.
I'd do that.
Yeah.
If I were you. Yeah.
All right.
Bring a truck.
Yeah, no kidding. Can you stand by?
Yeah, you bet.
All right. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. Back to the phones we go. Glenn's on the line from Alexandria, Louisiana. Hello, Glenn.
Yes, hi, Leo. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm very excited talking to you.
Oh, good. Thanks for calling.
Yes, actually, I'm calling in with a question regarding a UHD Blu-ray displayers.
Yes.
My parents are thinking in buying one of these new Master Series Sony TVs, and I'm kind of helping look up for a UHD player that will match that TV in the sense of being able to play every format, HDR,
Dolby 10 and HDR. Yeah. Let me, you know what? Scott's still, I think Scott's still here. Scott, are you still here?
I am still here.
All right. Did you hear his question, Glenn's question?
Sadly not. Can you read?
So Glenn is, his parents are buying, which TV is it, Glenn?
Yeah, they are. They have their eye on one of their Master Series, the Sony Master Series, the new.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
So he wants to know which UHD player to get to go with it that will handle all the formats that the Sony can handle.
Good question.
So that's what, Dolby Vision, HDR10.
Dolby Vision, HDR10.
And there's a third, isn't there, an IMAX?
Well, there's, no, IMAX uses, well, sort of. I would say one of the Sony players, probably. I just saw something. I'm trying to remember now. I would have said Oppo, but they've gone out of business.
They went out of business. It was so sad because,
well, not out of business, but out of the UHD.
They're not
Blu-ray
doing
player
players anymore. Game. Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean,
your parents like to play video games?
Not really,
because my UHD player is an Xbox One.
No, yeah, but then you have to get the remote, the regular TV type.
He
remote.
Hates
not that. I hate the game.
He hated. I have a game controller, and we were using it on the TC or the Hisense, and you just hated it. But I'm used to it. It doesn't bother me. It's just another remote. You can get the remote. The real problem is, yeah, I don't think it does. I think it only does. I can't remember what standards. I think it only does.
HDR10.
HDR10, and I think they've announced Dolby Vision at some point. Yeah. That's a software upgrade.
I would say the next best is probably the Panasonic. I forget the model number. now, but the top of the line Panasonic, I'm pretty sure, does HDR10, Dolby Vision, and HDR10 Plus, which is Samsung's answer to Dolby Vision. It puts dynamic metadata, uses dynamic metadata. Whether or not there'll be any discs in that format, I don't know. There aren't yet. So some studios have claimed they're going to, but we haven't seen any yet. But the Panasonic Ultra HD Blu-ray player is probably the one I would recommend.
Now, I do not, can you still buy Panasonic in the U.S.?
Ah, yes. Blu-ray players, yes. TVs, no. They've gotten out of the TV business in the U.S., but they're big in Europe and Asia.
Seems I don't like, know why, since you've got a Sony TV, you should just get a Sony.
Well, there is some logic to that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was looking at, they have three models currently, the X1000, the X800, and 700.
Right.
And but I was hesitant because I was looking the specs on the website, and I was not 100% certain that they were going to be able to support all the HDR formats, particularly the ones that do dynamic HDR.
Mm-hmm. And, well, those two are Dolby Vision and HDR10 Plus. And the I'm pretty sure Sony is not on board with HDR10 Plus. I know Panasonic is.
Sounds like Panasonic. Mm.
Panasonic DPUB820 is the model number.
Last week, you mentioned perhaps with the chat room about a Pioneer.
Yeah, I just saw that I just saw an email that they had come out with a new player, and I haven't looked at it yet, so I can't really tell you recommend it or not yet because I haven't looked at it. But they did come out with a new one. I'll see if I can find it real quick here.
HDR 10 Plus is a Samsung thing. Does Sony's Master Class have it or?
No, the Master Series TVs. I'm pretty sure they do not. It's a Samsung thing.
So there's no point in worrying about that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, that was something else I wanted to know. If the way that Sony implements HDR is a little bit different than how LG does it. Like they have a discrete chip for Dolby Vision and the others. And Sony does it like through software. So, like, they have a very powerful, chipset, and then through a software firmware update, they will be able to play Dolby Vision and other formats. Do you think that's going to be something that they will implement, that they could implement in the future?
Like HDR10 Plus?
Right.
Yeah, they could. Whether or not they will is another question.
This is a real problem because, Samsung makes HDR10 Plus, so Sony's not going to implement it. Sony
probably
doesn't support Dolby Vision because, Samsung doesn't support Dolby Vision.
That's correct. That is correct.
You really have to, it's crazy. Crazy, crazy.
It is
kind of
crazy.
So it sounds like the answer to your question, though, Glenn, is get that Panasonic with that nice Sony TV.
Oh man, that Sony TV is going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's really great.
Really good.
It's just nuts. Why do they do this to us?
I don't know. I wish I did. There's format wars. There's all kinds of weird stuff about like as you say, Samsung for some reason just did not want to adopt Dolby Vision. Everybody else did, but they didn't.
Yeah.
And so they came up with their own.
However, any of them's going to look pretty good, right?
Really good.
Okay. I mean, is it a tiny difference?
Oh, well, I think there's a difference between Dolby Vision and HDR10.
Which do you like better?
Dolby Vision, okay. No question.
Okay.
No question. So I'm looking here. I'm looking at the specs of the Sony UBP X800, and I don't see where it says. Well, here, let's look at features. I'm pretty sure it does Dolby Vision. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure it does. It does Atmos, certainly. I don't see it mentioning Dolby Vision, which they would make a big deal of it if it did.
Right.
So I'm a little surprised at that.
It's kind of
I would
a crazy
say the Panasonic.
World. Get the
it
Panasonic.
Is a crazy world.
Crazy
yeah,
world.
I agree.
So I understand Glenn why Glenn called.
Yeah,
no
really?
One understands this. It's only thank goodness you're here, Scott Wilkinson, home theater geek. Well, today was the home theater guy, right? But we'll go back. We'll go back to the phones and answer questions on any subject. Smartwatches. We could talk about. You know, I talked to some people from Huawei the other night. They were at an event showing off their really nice Huawei Mate laptops and their P20 and the P20 Pro phones or new phones. They don't sell the phones in the U.S. because. I don't know whether it's sad or not. What do you think? They're a Chinese company. They had deals with Verizon and I think AT&T, and then under pressure from the U.S. government, from the Commerce Department, both Verizon and AT&T pulled out, and Huawei had no carrier support. And without, it's not that they won't work in the U.S. They'll work fine, but without a company store to sell them at, they just decided it's not worth it. And these are really spectacularly nice phones. I guess we got plenty of phones. I guess. 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Mr. Scott Wilkinsonian.
By the way, Leo.
Yes.
I just found out, and UJ in the chat room confirmed it, the Sony X800, this year's model, does not support Dolby Vision. But last year's X700, cheaper, does.
Glenn.
What?
What?
What the hell's going on here?
I know.
I have to say, I like Sony's approach of upgrading by software. Their processor, the X1 in this year's models in this Master Series is called the X1 Ultimate, is a super high-powered processor, and they can program it to do anything, basically. And so I like that because then they can, you know, add features later, and they're not bound by hardware.
Right. That's why I kind of like the idea of an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4 because then you've got software, you know, a significant CPU in there, and you can upgrade them endlessly.
Yeah. Now, whether or not Microsoft, for example, will implement Dolby Vision,
right?
I hope so, but who knows?
Actually, Sony did not put UHD in its PlayStation 4, oddly enough.
What?
I think
that's
right.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah,
I
which means right. Forget it. All right, I'm gonna leave you to it while I get a cup
sure.
of Joe. All right,
go get a cup of Joe. Hey, chat room. Always happy to see you. Savage is asking, what TV is more color accurate, Sony or Samsung? They're both extremely color accurate if you calibrate them. Now, which one is more color accurate out of the box? I don't know about recent TVs. I'd say if you take either one out of the box and put it in its movie or cinema mode, picture mode, they'll be pretty close. And that may you may actually have some sample to sample variation. So you take one of them out of the box, it may be this close, and you take another of the same model, another sample of the same model out of its box and measure it, it might be more or less accurate. But with calibration, they can both get extremely close, essentially identical. So I would not worry about that. Thank you, Tech Dino. Glad to hear that. Dolby Vision is what the elf sees in Harry Potter web 6709. Okay. Let's see. What else can I help you folks with? Tech Dino, what are the human limitations of eye resolution? Now, that's a great question. And I have been doing some reading on that lately. And one person that I read, and I have to verify this, it's only one source, and being a journalist, I always go to multiple sources if I can, say that the number of rods and cones in the eye, in the retina, which is the sensor of the eye, is equivalent to about 6K. And that's a very interesting observation. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what this one writer claimed. And so I'm trying to do some more research into that. If that's the case, then 8K would seem to be overkill. and much less, you know, what many people anticipate coming down the pike, 16K, 32K, 64K. You know, at, I often at one wonder about the question of where is the point at which further improvement makes no difference whatsoever. I've read a number of articles now that say 8K actually does look better than 4K, even though theoretically you cannot see the difference in detail. That there might be some subconscious, well, there, certainly some brain processing that makes a difference, that in which 4K and 8K make a difference. But it does seem to be that when you look at an 8K display, it does appear more real, more like looking out a window than 4K does. And the question of why that is another question, which requires more research. But the question of the ultimate resolution of the human visual system is a very good one, and I need to look more at that myself. Yeah, Titus, after a few beers, watching football looks distorted. Well, yeah, that's true. let's see. Yes, aesthetic, room aesthetic is the key, Emily the Strange. Yeah, that's true. Having a black wall and then light brown walls, as I was talking about earlier, that's a bit strange. I agree. I myself am more interested in function over form, well, and form following function. So that's why my TV room is painted Munsell gray, because I want the best possible viewing experience. Now, when my wife and I moved into this house we're in 20 years ago, we made an agreement that the living room, the front room, was going to be a TV-free zone because we had enough room in the house. So I have my home theater. She has her front room with no TV in it. That's also where she does, she meets clients for speech therapy. So it was a good idea not to put a TV in there. And it's a light yellow room. I would never use that as a critical viewing environment, but it's a nice, bright, sunny room. So it's good for her clients and good for other hangouts, for friends hanging out. I am Special UK. Seen the new LG OLED with voice operation, i.e. order me a pizza. Yeah, well, I suppose you could do that. I'm not personally a big fan of voice activation, but that's just me. I did actually, I got a gig, wrote a review of the Amazon Echo Sub, which is a subwoofer you add to Amazon Echo speakers. And that should be appearing on a website called TechHive.com, T-E-C-H-H-I-V-E, TechHive.com. So look for that. Maybe I'll get some more assignments there as well. I imagine I will. It's the editor's an old colleague of mine from Electronic Musician days, and that's been quite a while now. Emily the Strange, your older sister is a speech therapist. Well, there you go. My wife is a speech therapist as well. Sybil, my poor eyes are still at 480p. Oh, man, that looks so soft to me now. That just looks like, ugh. sorry. T1000, how often do I upgrade my home theater TV? Not very often. It used to be very often when I was reviewing a lot of TVs. It would just one after the other. But now I have a 65-inch Sony OLED TV, 4K HDR, and it does fine for me. I'm perfectly happy with it. I'm not going to get an 8K anytime soon. Can't fit an 85-incher in that room anyway. Eric Duckman, excellent point. Like high bitrate audio you can't hear. Yes, that's the same question. At what point does it become inaudible or invisible? You can't even see it. Beatmaster, yes, it's like the resolution of the scanner versus the resolution of the image, negative, etc., being scanned. Now, in an analog film situation, you can talk about resolution in terms of the individual film grain.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Scotty.
My pleasure.
Talk to you next week.
You bet.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, augmented reality, virtual reality, any, you know, health monitors, anything you want to talk about with a chip in it. It's technology. I'd love to talk about them. 8888-ASK-LEO. I'll answer questions if I can. If not, don't worry. It's a vast, hundreds of thousands of people, vast listening audience who can help. And, of course, about 10 dozen really smart people in the chat room. 8888-ASK-LEO. You may have read or heard about the New York Times article this week that asserted that when the president makes phone calls, sometimes he does it on an insecure iPhone. The president denies this. He says, I only use government phones. The government, and I remember this came up when Obama took office in 2008 and again in 2012. He had a BlackBerry in 2008, as many of us did, and was it was taken away from him, and the Secret Service provided him with, which was a pretty janky but secure Windows phone, which had a lot of modifications. According to the Times, the president has today has three cell phones, all three iPhones, two of which are modified to make them secure. There's no camera. One of them is, you know, there's no contact list. There's one of them is for tweeting only and that kind of thing. So this is really reasonable OPSEC. Now, as I said, the president denies it, so I'm not going to weigh in on whether he is or isn't using an insecure phone. But you might, when you read that story, say, well, wait a minute. I thought my iPhone was secure, and wonder how, if he was using a stock iPhone out of the box, how that could be deemed insecure. In fact, in an interview with the Wall Street Journal, the president, when asked what American officials in Turkey had learned about the killing of Jamal Khashoggi, he replied, I actually said, don't give it to me on the phone. I don't want it on the phone. As good as these phones are supposed to be. like most people, I think we assume our iPhones are secure. The way I can only speculate how it would be hacked, but I can tell you how iPhones and all phones are routinely hacked. And we know it's very common in Washington, D.C. It's with a device colloquially called a Stingray. Stingrays are widely used by law enforcement, but they can be easily made and easily made by, you know, spies. We know there are many, many stingrays in Washington, D.C. One of the tech blogs drove an expert around town with some equipment and was able to identify dozens of them, many of them close to embassies. What does a stingray do? It impersonates a cell site. So you know that your cell phone's pretty promiscuous. Then herein lies the problem. It will just join a cell site, the nearest, strongest cell site, saying, yeah, that's what I need. I need a connection to the world. It is possible to impersonate a cell site for any major carrier, have the phone join it as if it's a real cell site. And there are a couple of things you can do. At some point, I guess you could pass that phone call along to a real cell site. So really, you're just doing what we call a man-in-the-middle attack, in which you can eavesdrop on the conversations, the data, and so forth. If the president or somebody in the White House or somebody in Congress was using a stock iPhone, it would be a trivial process to put a Stingray near that area and pick up the cell phone conversations. Now, it's my understanding that these are encrypted, so I'm not sure. I do know that these Stingrays are used by law enforcement, so there must be a way to decrypt this. And I presume if there is such a thing, that would be used in D.C. There are many, many of these Stingrays in D.C. I also presume the Secret Service routinely sweeps the area of the White House for Stingrays. So I'm not sure how effective the monitoring would be. The real problem in the cell phone network and the real insecurity in all smartphones is with the radios, the baseband radios, and something called SS7, Signaling System 7. It was developed in 1975, is still used in all smartphones. It's how smartphones make phone calls, and it has been cracked many times, and the techniques for cracking SS7 are well known. So it isn't, just so you know, it isn't hard to listen in on a smartphone call if you're significantly well-equipped, funded, and you're smart. And that's what protects us, because no one's going to do this en masse. It only works with targets, and that's why it's so dangerous for the president or anybody in government to use a stock cell phone, because they are targets. And so somebody can camp out outside the White House and intercept phone calls or follow the president's limousine and so forth. There have been proposals to make SS7 secure. It hasn't happened yet. If you are concerned about getting spied on, don't make phone calls on a stock phone. Don't use text messaging, SMS messaging. Instead, use something encrypted. Now, you could use Facebook's WhatsApp, which is, as we understand it, well encrypted. But I would suggest using something that's not owned by Facebook or any other company, but instead something called Signal, which is known to be secure as an open source messaging protocol. And you could use that to make phone calls, data phone calls, and text messages securely. And as far as I know, without being snooped upon. I don't think the president's using Signal, but it's possible he could. He could even be using it on a stock iPhone and making secure calls. So this is a significant issue, and operational security would require that people in the government and people who are targets, which would include, by the way, CEOs of tech corporations, because a lot of the spying that goes on in the United States, even from countries like China and Russia, really aren't necessarily political in nature. A lot of them are industrial. They're snooping for secrets, for patents, for competitive information, because they want to do economically well, particularly from China. So if you read the story and you were concerned, well, gosh, I thought my iPhone was secure. No phone is truly secure. But there are ways to make it secure without having the Secret Service modify it. And one of those ways is not to use the telephone network, but to use the data network and an encrypted protocol. Signal would be my recommendation. You can download and install Signal on an iPhone or an Android device. It's free. The other party has to also be using Signal. According to the New York Times, the reason President Trump doesn't want to use the secure phones is because the insecure phone has his contact list on it. If that's true, then I doubt he wants to use Signal. But I'm sure the Secret Service has even better ways of securing a phone used in the White House. Or just put it in a wire mesh bag and leave it behind. 8888-ASK-LEO is the phone number. 888-827-5536. By the way, somebody's telling me, Joe, in the chat room, and he's absolutely right. WhatsApp's transmissions are encrypted, but if you use iCloud to back it up, as Paul Manafort learned to his chagrin, those backups are not encrypted. Stick with Signal. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Our show today brought to you by Simply Safe. I got my Simply Safe. Oh, alarms here. I love the story of Simply Safe. It was created by a couple of graduate students who were talking with their friends. They were all renters, and they were just appalled at the price of home security. And I think it was in Cambridge, so there were break-ins and stuff. And they said, you know, we could do better. What if you made a security system that you could install yourself, had all the sensors, all the bells and whistles of the big boys, and then you only charged $14.99 a month without contract for 24 monitoring? 24/7 monitor. Wouldn't that be a product everybody would like? And SimpliSafe was born. Now we're up to the latest generation of SimpliSafe. And this is so awesome. This is the base station. First of all, you won't mind having this in your living room. I mean, you don't need to, but it's attractive. Looks kind of like a little bit like an Amazon Echo or something like that, right? But here's the beauty part of this. A thief can see this. Most of them won't know what that is, but if they saw it and said, oh, he's got SimpliSafe, and they batter it with a baseball bat, if a storm takes out your power, even if the bad guy cuts your phone line saying, this will take care of their security system, you don't have to worry. SimpliSafe continues to work through all of that. You will get the help you need with their great 24/7 monitoring. I know maybe it's overkill, but you don't have to be ready for every worst case scenario. But when you have a home security system, that's kind of what you want, right? You'll never need it, but it's good to know it's there, and it's really good for your family. And it doesn't cost an arm and a leg. There are no contracts. There are no hidden fees, just $14.99 a month for the same exact 24/7 professional security monitoring the other guys are charging three times more for. And by the way, signing you up for, I saw a two-year contract the other day. Crazy. SimpliSafe's the only way to go. I set everybody up with it, and I shouldn't set you up with it. Go to SimpliSafe.com/twit right now. SimpliSafe.com/twit right now to protect your home and family. It's home security done right. SimpliSafe.com/twit. I love SimpliSafe. They're really doing a great job for real people in the real world. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number, 888-827-5536. Hey, it's Chris from Miami. Hello, Chris.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
It's always a privilege to get on the telephone with you, sir. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're always too kind, Chris, but thank you.
Well, I have the show Honor, and it's your radio show, and you've always been wonderful. And
thank you.
Always taking care and everything. So, well, I just wanted to clear one thing. I'm already in four full cups, so just kidding.
Chris drinks a special coffee, though.
Sizzle Cafe coffee, the world's best taste. Well, Panama Geisha bean comes from Panama. Infrared coffee, as you know, is better than roasted, so.
I don't know, but someday I will try some, and I will let you know.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So I don't want to keep you because I know I have just a few minutes. I always have 30 seconds in my head just to keep mindful of the show. I'm having a lot of issues. I have the new iPhone XS. I'm in love. I can't put it down.
Good.
And I have the AirPods, of course, but I'm getting a lot of I think that myself, Apple tech support, the Apple stores, we've all exhausted trying to figure out why I keep getting, and a few of us keep getting, distortion using the AirPods with the iPhone, mostly in calls, not in music, not anywhere else, just in the call. We've done everything from shutting off Wi-Fi to resetting them, restoring, doing everything. And I figured maybe yourself, maybe the chat room, maybe someone out there might have an idea as to why. But a lot of us are facing the same issue.
So there's two different Bluetooth profiles. The way when you pair Bluetooth, you choose a profile. The one you use with music, there are actually several. The most common is called A2DP. There's also aptX. Is a full frequency, luscious sounding codec. But there's also a Bluetooth headset codec that is terrible. It sounds like a phone call because there was no need to use more bandwidth because, well, that's how phone calls sounded. And they do sound clippy and distorted and scratchy, for want of a better word. Maybe more so. You know, I mean, that's what you sound like, too. You're on a phone call right now, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that's happened, though, especially on smartphones these days, many carriers support, at least AT&T and T-Mobile, I don't know about the others, support what we call Wi-Fi calling, which is all of a sudden the call, and you may have made a Wi-Fi call and been stunned to hear, you know, full frequency phone call, like the person's in the room. When that happens, I always get very excited about that. And somehow those AirPods, I think, seem to handle it. So I'm not sure what Apple's doing in terms of profiles. But normally when you use Bluetooth anything, there's different profiles depending on how you're using it. And when you're using the headset profile, you know, you wouldn't want to listen to music on the headset profile. It'd sound like a phone call. So I'm not sure if that's what's going on. Now, there are, and Scooter X is mentioning his Plantronics BT headset. There are headsets that support HD high def voice. And I would imagine that what they're doing is flipping over into some sort of A2DP mode. You would think that Apple's AirPods would be as good as it can get. But I'm not sure exactly what Apple's doing overall. And I haven't heard this. You've seen people complain about this in the forums and so forth?
Oh, yeah. I've done my home. You know me, Leo. I always make sure that if I have to call that, yeah. You know, Kim was very kind to let me on today. But, you know, I also noticed something else. I believe we're at Bluetooth 5.0, but they're using 4.2, I believe it is.
Yeah. I bet you that's it.
That's got to be what, I mean, yeah. why are we not, what's going on there, Apple? So I have a letter going out to the company to say, why is it you're behind the eight ball where we're not using the latest in Bluetooth technology?
It's very common. This is, I think people sometimes think Apple's going to be a tech leader. They're not. They're a tech follower. Mm. They never want to be the first one to use any technology. So it took them forever, for instance, to use NFC, near field communications. Well, all the other phones were using touch to pay and you were able to tap them on a Bluetooth device to pair and so forth. Apple only started doing that a couple of generations ago, and even then only allowed it for Apple particular uses, Apple Pay and specifically, and only recently have they started to open up the NFC API. So they're way behind. Same thing with wireless charging. Same thing with a lot of things. And so it's not at all surprising that AirPods would not support Bluetooth 5. Apple's a funny beast because, of course, they tout the fact that we developed the W1 chip just to make sure Bluetooth sounded better and worked better. Actually, they didn't say sounded better. I think they only said worked better on the AirPods. Everybody thinks there's an AirPod second generation just around the corner. Maybe they'll announce it on Tuesday, mm-hmm. although I'm not seeing the rumors of that. I would really expect a second generation. And until then, I don't think the AirPods are the best Bluetooth headset you can get. Bluetooth to me is really troublesome. It's one of the reasons I'm still angry that Apple and Google and others are dropping the headphone jack. Really bugs me. Of the four phones in front of me, only one has a headphone jack. That's the Samsung Note 9. It really drives me nuts because, honestly, wired is still better. It's going to always sound better, and it's not going to drop out, and it's not going to have problems.
Yeah, I've noticed that too.
Yeah, so Bluetooth 4.2.
I on the rails on things.
And yeah, well, yeah, I'm with you.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Apple will adopt Bluetooth 5 later.
when we don't need it,
because when 6 yeah. comes out, Bluetooth 5 is fairly new. The phones support it, by the way. They have Bluetooth 5 in the iPhone, everything from the iPhone up, so they started that last year. But I guess they didn't, you know, maybe the AirPods came out a little earlier or they were in development a little earlier and they didn't feel like, well, we're going to wait and make sure it's all good. That's just Apple. And I don't think people buy, you shouldn't buy Apple to be on the cutting edge. The theory that Apple lives by and that most Apple observers say Apple, you know, actually embodies is we're going to take existing technology and make it work better. That's where the W1 chip in the AirPod. We're going to take Bluetooth. We're not going to take Bluetooth 5. We're going to take Bluetooth and make it work better. iPhone is not by any means cutting edge technology. It doesn't support 5G, for instance. Although no phone yet supports 5G. The only one I know of is the Motorola. Z Play? No, the Z. Motorola Z 3, which has a doesn't really support 5G, but has a place you could snap on a Moto mod that will give it 5G if that ever comes around. Apple won't do 5G first. They won't do any technology first. But their theory is, but we're going to do it better, so you might as well wait. I wish Apple made an iPhone that was $300 or $400 as well as all these expensive ones, because then I could with great happiness recommend, just don't even consider any other phone, just buy an iPhone. But honestly, they're so expensive. In fact, all of the Apple stuff is so expensive. There are better Bluetooth headphones out there. In fact, I'd love to hear from you which ones you like. Scooter X likes his Plantronics. I think there are better ones that will sound better. And some of them are wireless. I mean, completely, you know, like the AirPods where they're just sitting in your ear. Actually, I guess all of them are, right? That's the whole point of Bluetooth. 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. The Voyager 5220 he likes. I use my AirPods because they're convenient. But mine drop out all the time. I mean, all the time. I'll be in the middle of a call, and for reasons I don't understand, the phone will just, you know, take over. And I'm talking, and nobody's hearing me, and people hang up. My daughter always hangs up on me. And well, as a matter of fact, Red Road Rash, I will be getting my Super 73 in the next month. And I've had a recumbent for 5 years. So I'm kind of all up on that, man. You just don't know it. You've seen my my recumbent video, right? Thank you, Chris. He's been everywhere, man. He's breathing the mountain air, man. He's all over the place because he's Johnny Jett, our traveling guy. Johnny helps us travel better with technology. Where are you today, Johnny?
I am still in Canada, Toronto. I got back about 10 days ago from London, and I'm here with my wife and son. Her nice. Mom's here, and so I'm freezing, but the leaves are beautiful.
Is it already winter in Canada?
Oh, my! Yes, it's actually supposed to snow tonight a little bit, just flurries. But
well, I won't tell you what the weather is in Southern California
right
now.
Believe me, I've been watching the World Series. You know.
Are you a Dodgers fan?
I'm a Yankees fan, but my second favorite team is who's ever playing the Red Sox.
Yeah, if you're a Yankees fan, you hate the Red Sox. I'm a Red Sox fan, so I hate the Yankees. And I'm a Giants fan, so I hate the Dodgers. So I think you know who I'm rooting for.
I know. Oh, yeah. But, you know, although I got to tell you, I do like some of the players on the Red Sox, so it makes them very difficult to hate.
Yeah.
Mookie Betts is a class act.
Yeah.
The guy fed homeless people at 1 a.m. after they won the other night. And J.D. Martinez, those guys, they're class acts. You know, it's not like the old teams where you really hate them.
No, because people move around so much, you can't.
No.
They
have a great team. It kills me to say how much I actually like the Red Sox. But
we hate the Yankees because you stole Babe Ruth.
And Roger Clemens, Wade Boggs. Anyway, but speaking of London, I heard your last segment about you know, the NFC and Apple Pay and all that stuff.
Yeah.
The whole time I was in London, I never used cash. I just used Apple Pay.
No kidding.
And I do this. Actually, one time I used my credit card. The first day I went to go buy a bottle of water at a small convenience store, and I didn't even think about using Apple Pay. And then the next day I went to a little French cafe, and I saw this kid come in and paid with his Apple Pay. And I was like, can I do that? And everywhere I went, every store, I went to Whole Foods, grocery store, Sainsbury, Marks and Spencer, everything. So I never even took cash out. And I find that often when I'm traveling a lot, I rarely take cash out. I just use – first of all, I use credit cards. But now it's great just to use your Apple Pay.
Isn't it fascinating how this has changed? Because when I first went to Europe, we used traveler's checks. Buy traveler's checks. And you go to the American Express office and you countersign them and all that. No one takes traveler's checks anymore. Then it was credit cards. Then it was ATMs. I mean, you can go and take out euros and or whatever currency. And I still do that. But I love it if they can do touch to pay now. I guess that's really using a credit card, though.
I mean, you are. But and it also takes some of the fun out of
it. Does. You know, I like the currency. I have a drawer where I put all the leftover currency because I don't trade it in because I'm collecting it. And I have currency from all over the world. It's fun.
Right. But at some places you need – I mean, sometimes you do need it. I wasn't staying in a hotel, so I didn't need it to tip the bellman or the maids.
Yeah, you can't – although it's just a matter of time before the bellman holds out his iPad and you touch your watch to it.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I see homeless people in L.A. with signs saying, here's my Venmo number.
Wow. Actually, I would do that.
I'm like, that's brilliant.
I actually would do that. Yeah, just put the Venmo ID on, you know, in your name tag. Hi, I'm Robert Pritzker, and my Venmo ID is RP. Yeah. And then you could just tip them, say, I'll Venmo you. And that way you can just ignore it.
And if you do use your credit card, make sure you get one that doesn't charge foreign transaction fees.
That's a big issue. Sometimes they charge a huge amount. Which ones don't?
I mean, almost all of them now are really starting to go that way. It's obviously, Amex. I have the Platinum card because that gets me to the Centurion lounges and the Delta lounge. I use a Citi card. I use a Barclays Arrivals card. Okay. None of them do. I mean, just anytime you look at a credit card or get a credit card, I always recommend actually having at least two when you travel.
Do they all use the same exchange rates? Are those kind of standard, or do they kind of make a little money on the side by making the exchange rate less favorable?
I don't know about the different credit cards, but you know what kind of bums me out? And Harrods is a big culprit of this. I was in Harrods, you know, a couple weeks ago.
The great department store in London. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, but and other stores do it too. But Harrods, they say, you know, but when they swipe your card to pay and they know that you're American, they go, oh, would you like to pay in U.S. dollars? And they make it sound like, oh, that's going to help you. They charge a much higher a transfer fee. So always pay in local currency. So if you're in London, you pay in pounds.
Yes.
And not all stores do this, but Harrods always does. So I like
it's
to call
it a service we like to offer our clients.
And a lot of my American friends, they oh my God, I paid in U.S. dollars. Like,
it's
well, you
so
just
cool.
Get ripped off.
You just got ripped off.
So don't do that. And also, you know, always call people say, well, I don't need to call my credit card company anymore. You know, if you pay for your airline tickets with your credit card, you usually don't need to call because they know that you're traveling. Yeah. But always a good idea to call or log on or even do both.
I do, especially for the debit. If I'm going to use a bank, an ATM, I always say I'm going to be in Europe because you don't want your cash blocked.
And you shouldn't be paying a lot. You shouldn't be using your debit card often just for some petty cash.
Oh, really? That's another bad way to get...
Because you're not protected. Mm. At least with a credit card, you're protected by the Fair Credit Billing Act.
Right.
So you won't get, you know, scammed. And actually, speaking of scam...
Oh, yes.
One of the big things when you travel is VPN. I don't think we've ever talked about having a virtual private network you travel.
But Leo does all the time on his show.
I figured.
In fact, we have a great sponsor, ExpressVPN, that is a highly recommended.
Okay. Well, when you travel, I mean, a VPN is key for a number of reasons. Obviously, number one, to keep your data safe. But, you know, other people don't realize you can also save money using a VPN.
How can you save money, Johnny Jet?
So you can, let's say you're traveling in India. You know, instead of going to Expedia.com, you go to Expedia.co.in and price out the fares that way. I did some inner India flights. I think it was Mumbai to New Delhi, and it was $120. Actually, it was $100 one way, but I did it using the Expedia.co.in after I switched my VPN to India, and it came out to $60. Same flight.
So pretend you're in a different country.
Yes, and you don't always need a VPN to do this, and a lot of times they're in different languages, but that also helps. Another way, by the way, the NFL is going to love it when I talk about this, is if you want to watch games, you switch your
– A lot of people do that. Eliminate
– Switch it to the UK
and buy the UK package,
and that way you can – watch NFL games live, because in the U.S. you can't watch it live on their with their service. You can watch it afterwards.
Well, but anyway, the legality of this, I must point out, is unknown. I don't even know. It sounds sketch.
That sounds sketch. So I'm not recommending. I'm just saying, did you know you
people
can do
this? That, though. I've heard people do that. Yeah, I use a router when I travel, and that's a nice way to – this has VPN and Tor built into it. But that way, this thing is what's on the hotel network, not my laptop, not my phone.
And another thing, if you're in China, you know, you can't go bring up social media.
Okay, now this I'm going to tell you don't do. Do not – and my friend asked me, what VPN should I use in China? I said, absolutely not. What, do you want to go to jail?
I disagree with that. As long as you're an expat – they're okay with that.
Oh, I don't know how okay with that they are.
You know, I was just having dinner with an executive from a credit card company who was living in China, and I asked him that question. He's like, it's totally fine if you're an expat. They don't want their own people, you know, using these things. So although, you know, I don't want anyone to...
You're a guest in somebody's country. I would follow the local laws. B, I would hate to spend any time in a Chinese jail. C, okay, maybe you can get away with it.
Okay, well...
But the words get away with it underscore the chanciness of it. Johnny Jett, all of his tips are at johnnyjett.com. We love you, Johnny. Just please... cool it with the VPN in China. Stay out of the jail. 8888 Ask Leo. More calls right after this. Yeah, I'm always a little nervous. You know, I told Andrew, one of our sales guys going to China with his daughter, who's a skateboarder. He's going to like the national or the internationals or something. And he said, what VPN should I use? And I said, well, you're a guest in the country. Don't use a VPN.
I don't know.
I guess you can.
I use Hotspot Shield.
Yeah, they're very good. Yeah.
Very popular. I love it. I have it on my phone and actually, I think that's one of the reasons why I wasn't able to get video a couple weeks ago.
Because
I had it turned on. Today I have it turned off.
Yeah.
And that's why the internet was kind of cutting in and out because I think it was sucking up too much bandwidth.
Right.
So anyway. I didn't get into mention my website or my...
That's all right. It was a good subject. It doesn't have to always have an app and a website. It can be any topic you wish to discuss.
All right, good. I'm just trying to get people to get out there, see the world.
See the world. I love traveling.
Faster.
I love it. I just love it. I can't get enough of it. When I retire, the only reason I haven't retired yet is I need to put enough money aside so that I can travel when I retire.
I gotcha.
Which means I'm never retiring, by the way, because it's a moving target. It gets, you know, what's interesting, cruises are really on the upswing, especially the luxury cruise segment. People are building boats like nuts.
For sure.
Crazy.
That's one of the things I want to do. I wanted to retire on like a seaboard ship and just travel around the world. And if I had enough money, I would have put my dad on a ship, although I just think broke because he'd be going to the casino. It'd have to be one without a casino.
So next time you're talking to your big shot friends, we're going Silver Sea next time. If you ever meet the Silver Sea CEO,
I know all those people.
Put a good word in for me. They used to be run out of Monaco, but they just got a big investment from RCI, unfortunately.
RCI?
Royal Caribbean.
Okay.
I'm not a Royal Caribbean fan, but that's only of their big ships. So maybe, you know, they're all owned by somebody. Seabourn's owned by Carnival. Regent is owned by Norwegian, and now 60%
and Carnival are the big ones.
Yeah, yeah.
I was supposed to be on the largest ship in the world in a couple weeks. It's the RCI.
I know. We were on the Anthem of the Seas a couple of years ago.
It's the Harmony of the Seas. I think is what the new one is.
God, they're too big for me. I like a littler. I like a middle size. I like 600, 700 people. That's good.
You know, is there something for everyone? So
that's what's nice.
Yeah.
I really like cruising. I really do. I am a
big, I do too.
Lisa and I have decided. And the next one has like 10 sea days.
That's a lot.
Well, we're bringing games. And I booked us a cabin that's near the library. There's like on the Silver Sea Spirit at the top, there's a library. They call it a bar with a view and stuff, and I booked a cabin right next to it so we can kind of live.
Be quiet, or so
yeah, apparently nobody's ever there.
Or a short walk to the booth.
Because it's the 11th, it's the top deck. Nobody ever goes there. So you got a kind of this private library that's all yours.
Right.
And they put food up there. They put booze at night.
I would love to be on that one with you.
Come with us.
Can we broadcast from there? I could probably get them to do it a broadcast.
Let me send you the trip we're going on. It's next October, late October.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey.
10 days, we're going to the Holy Land. We're going to Jerusalem. Don't you want to see Jerusalem?
I've seen it, but I'd love to see it again.
I know Natalie and Jack would.
Natalie's been there, too.
Oh, damn you. There's no – where haven't you been that you want to go?
A lot of places. I've never been to Petra, where you're going to on that.
We're going to Petra. I'm so excited.
All right,
well, let me send you the cruise number, and you can talk to your Silver Sea, get a freebie on there. It's almost booked. Yeah. I had to book it. Jane said there's only three cabins left.
That's not going to happen. They wouldn't do that.
Thank you, Johnny.
Take care.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888 Ask Leo. Johnny Jett, our travel guru, is at johnnyjett.com. That's his website. He's got great articles there, free travel newsletters. You can also follow him on Twitter, at Johnny Jett, or Instagram. He's got great pictures on Instagram, too. Sam, Chatsworth, California, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Leo. How are you, sir?
I am well. How are you?
I'm good. I always enjoy listening to you, Leo. I have a question. I'm using an old desktop. I have a small business that I run. So what I learned from listening to you that you always recommended the one that if you're going to replace it, it should have an SSD.
Yes.
And I've been chasing those down, and finally the price came down to the point that I can afford.
Yes, they've really gotten affordable. Yes.
So I have two that I'm comparing with. One of them is a Dell. One of them is Lenovo. Do you have preference?
So I like both. I don't like the low-end Lenovos, so I'd be a little careful about the low-end Lenovos, but I love the ThinkPads. Actually, it's true in general. Most computer companies will sell two lines. They'll sell a consumer line, which is really cheap and often has inexpensive parts and less reliability. And then they'll sell a business line, which is a little more expensive but a lot more robust. And so I would always, you know, given price sensitivity – I would always opt for the business models if you can.
The problem with that is they're twice as much. They're not just a little bit.
Well, you could shop around. Dell has some good choices. And honestly, if you don't mind clunky, you can get a good, you know, like the Inspirons, which are a little clunkier for less, right? You pay more for the thin, sleek, pretty ones.
Okay, let me tell you about this one here. It is Inspiron. Thankfully, it is what you're recommending. It's Dell Inspiron 5000.
Okay.
It's a 17.3. It's got a screen on it.
Yeah, that is a giant screen. Holy cow.
That's okay. It's going to be, you know, I'm using a desktop, so this is going to take a place of that.
Okay.
It's got the Intel Core i7 8th generation.
Okay.
Which I like.
Yep.
16 gig memory.
Good.
2 terabyte hard drive.
Excellent.
256 GB SSD.
Okay, now that's confusing. So 2 terabyte hard drive and an SSD.
Plus, yes.
Plus. Wow. And that's how it's big enough that they can have dual drives. That's great.
And 4 GB Radeon. I'm not sure what that is.
Go ahead. That's a graphics processor. How much is that? That's an excellent system. How much is that?
It's $1,100. It's got $200 rebate on it.
It's a fantastic system. The only thing I would say is consider a smaller screen because, remember, you can always attach a desktop screen and have even more real estate. Get a 27-inch desktop screen on that thing, and then that gives you a little more portability. So when you get to the desk, you can plug it in. But if you really want to 17 inches is a lot for a laptop. It's not a lot for a desktop. Do you see what I'm saying?
I'm not going to use it for transporting.
You're never going to pick it up? Okay. That is a great deal. Highly recommended.
Very seldom.
Yeah.
My thing is this other Lenovo that I'm comparing with, instead of having
I love the dual drive. I think that's a great thing.
Okay.
And what Lenovo will often do instead of that is put extra battery life, because Lenovo often focuses on, sometimes they'll even have dual batteries instead of dual hard drives. So since you're not ever unplugging this thing, you don't care what the battery life is.
That's correct.
Yeah, and I'll tell you right now, the battery life on this thing is not going to be good. At all. But you don't care.
That doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Now, I'm noticing the Lenovo, probably it's not a dual because it says 16 gigabytes of memory, 512 SSD, and doesn't mention anything else.
No, that's all there's. That's all that's in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Which Lenovo is that?
So the Dell, I guess, it's dual. It's better.
Which Lenovo is that?
Flex.
Okay. Yeah, I'd say we'll go with Adele. That boy, in every respect, that's great. Now, the one other thing you might want to add, and always keep this in mind, especially since this is a business laptop, is support. And free support is worthless, as everybody knows these days, and that's how they got the prices down on these. That laptop would have cost more than twice as much 10 years ago because they bundled in great support. So keep in mind that you can buy from Lenovo or Dell better support, and think about that as well. That's another it's a few hundred dollars extra. It might be worth it if you don't want to support yourself. Now, I rarely call support because I'm the tech guy.
You're different.
Yeah. But you're using this in business, and if you think you're going to need support or at any point want support, I would consider getting a higher end support package as well.
Well, this is coming from Costco, and Costco says they have 2 years of support. What do you think about that?
Yeah, Costco support's actually pretty good. The nice thing about buying it at Costco is they have a very good return policy. So
they have it for, I think it's for 3 months.
Yeah, so if you really, if you are in any doubt, buying it at Costco means, you know, you can try it for a few months and see if you like it and return it at no cost. Now, when you tell me that, that tells me it's not the latest Inspiron. Costco, the big box stores, tend to sell slightly older models. Dell will sell the newer models on their site and give the big box stores older models or slightly modified models. That is a tank. That thing is a tank, and it's a great price for a lot of hardware. You're getting a graphics processor as well. That's great.
But being it i7 and 8th generation, doesn't that tell us it's pretty much the latest?
It is, actually. That's the latest processor. It's a little confusing because Intel has released 4 8th-generation processors.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been 8th and 8th, 8th again, and then 8th again, and 8th again. So it's probably probably a year old. But that's, you know, for me, that's old. That's not old for most people. That's fine.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Now, with all honesty, you think I should skip all this and go directly to Apple?
That's a more personal decision because if you're used to Windows, going to Macintosh means learning a few things. Your muscle memory is going to change. I am a Mac fan, but it also means some of the software that you might be using, if it's Windows only, is not, you know, you're going to not be happy with that. And absolutely, that a laptop of that quality from Apple, of that, you know, of that capability, would cost twice as much.
Twice as much. Well, if I go,
they don't even make dual drive laptops at all.
Yeah, it's going to be something smaller, but being at Apple, I guess I have to say to myself, this is good enough.
No, if you like Windows, Windows 10 is pretty darn secure these days. I wouldn't worry about it. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this year, this is sold then.
Yes. Go for it. And then call me in 3 months and tell me if there's anything you don't like about it. I'd love to know.
You know, I looked at the reviews, people that have it, they're pretty much happy with it.
Yeah, I think I think Dell makes excellent hardware.
Except a couple of people, they opened up and from the get-go didn't work.
Well, and of course, that's true of all hardware. You know, the way solid-state hardware works, it either works forever or it fails instantly. So if you can get it to, you know, and that's the beauty of a three-month return policy. Bang on it hard the first 3 months. I mean, really use it.
Well, the way I use it is this. During the day, I have like 5, 6, 7 different items open on my screen. And I'm looking for speed. See, I deal with customers. I got to show them stuff.
Right.
And when I click on an item, it has to open for me right away.
This is 8. You said 8 gigs of RAM?
Okay.
I think it's 8 gigs of RAM.
16.
16, even better. You have a speedy laptop, my friend, and a good warranty from Costco. I'd say get it. And enjoy it. And let me know what you think. Well, hour 3 of the Tech Guy Show just around the corner. We're going to take a break for news at the top of the hour. A word, as they say, from your local stations. this fine station. And we'll come right back. 8888 Ask Leo. The website, techguylabs.com. Our show today brought to you by, I'm excited about this, Prylock. I have to tell you about Prylock. It's a new company, relatively new, with some amazing technology that I think every business needs to know about. 91% of all successful hacks start with a phishing email. Social engineering, candy drops, or another vulnerability. Your business is at risk, and your employees are the weak link. You might have a great IT setup, as we do, great security, but the problem is your employees are nice people, and often they're going to fall. They're going to fall for these plots and ploys. Hackers are very good at manipulation. That's why you need to know about Prilox Security. They offer a best-of-breed security training platform that will teach your employees what not to do, and not just in a set of rules, but experientially. Really great. In most cases, 70% less than comparable programs. They have a. I was talking to their founder, and they have a very sophisticated network setup on AWS that'll save you a lot. But let me tell you what they do, because you don't care about how you don't care about how they do it. You care about what they do, and I got to tell you, with Prilox, you can set it up one click, get a full year's training. Now this is important. They just don't just come in, give you the training, and go. And it's great for businesses of 50 to 50,000. You don't need an IT professional. You get the training, which includes, by the way, a hacker coming in and showing you how they work. This is all on screen. I don't actually come into your business. Don't worry. You get a custom user page for every employee with resources they can use. But then the security awareness training is fun. It, of course, has a 10-question final assessment for compliance mandates. So it will fit any compliance mandates you have. But then they do something amazing. They schedule and run 24 automatic random phishing tests throughout the year. So your employees will learn how to build phishing emails so they understand how they work, but then they're going to get them. And if they fall for them, you get enrolled in videos if, you know, like you fell for it. And, you, of course, you get an email with admins and get emails with all sorts of report analytics in real time. It is incredible. It is they offer one-year security programs for companies as small as 25 employees for $395. They even have a single license gift card you can give to your family and friends that will test them with 2 phish tests a month for a full year, train them, and then test them. Look, you can't learn all the ways a hacker can con you and trick you, but Prilox will show your employees the psychology that's being used, how hackers think and work, and that is the best protection of all. Learn more at Prilox, PRILOCK.com/twit, and save 30% on top of that when you use the promo code Leo. PRILOCK.com, Prilox.com/twit, promo code Leo. This is the best training you can get, and it's not expensive. You've got to do this. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography. We're talking smartphones, smart watches, all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number, 888-827-5536. If you want to talk high tech, 8888 Ask Leo. The website contains all the answers to your questions, especially if you ask them on the air, techguylabs.com. And that's free. There's no sign up. You can also add your comments if you have a thought or you're yelling at the radio. You can put those comments in at techguylabs.com. Great conversation going on in the chat room about i7s versus i5s, motherboards, laptops for gaming, and so forth. But the consensus is that some of the deals at these big box stores are pretty amazing. And the support is very good, you know, the return policy and so forth. So and while I normally would say, oh, you know, don't get it from a big box store, if you're getting one that you're pretty sure is late model, I think that's a great way to go. Save a lot of money often. Old Chef Guy himself, Richard, online from Sonoma. Hello, Old Chef Guy.
Oh, thank you so much. How about a new show? How about a new TWIP? Where it's this week in phone photography.
Oh, I love the iPhone photography. Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
Photography, I mean, there are people out there doing dollies and steady cams and, you know, yeah. Amazing shooting. I think that'd be a great show.
The my friend Chris Marquardt, who's our photo guy on this channel, has a very good podcast called The Future of Photography. And they talk a lot about what is going on in camera phone photography these days. It's basically what we call computational photography. That's what Google is doing with its new Pixel 3. It's what Apple's doing with the iPhone. Google's a little bit more on the leading edge of this, but it's really remarkable. Google has a dedicated chip in the Pixel phones specifically for camera, and it does so much to the kind of not such good image that it's getting through this lens, because a camera phone lens is tiny, you know, it's plastic, it can't be it's not expensive compared to the lenses you might use on a professional camera, but the results they're getting are amazing. And Google's about to turn on night mode on its Pixel phones. I think it'll work on Pixel 2 as well as Pixel 3 when the new camera software comes out with night mode, and that should be probably in the next couple of weeks. It's mind-boggling what they can do in almost no light, and I've seen some samples. So you're right. We were talking. This comes up because Old Chef Guy's in the chat room. We were talking in the chat room about a photo podcast. I do a bunch of podcasts. We used to do one on photography, but I agree with you. The what's going on in camera phone photography is fantastic, just amazing. And I'm at the point where I think nobody should buy a simple point and shoot camera if you have one of these incredible smartphones. And the Pixel 3 is the best one out there right now. Really remarkable.
I'm slightly appalled at how often I reach for my Pixel 2 XL, which I love, versus my Olympus Mark II with a pro lens.
Isn't that funny? I mean, those are real. That's really Olympus annoying. Is a great camera. But you can, we were talking with Rishi Sanyal, who's the science editor at DP Review, a digital photography site owned by Amazon. It's really a great site. And he's of the opinion that these new camera phones, and he includes the iPhone XS, and the Pixel 3, are as good as Micro Four Thirds lenses, which is what you have with the Olympus, and are rapidly getting as good as the even bigger sensor APS-C cameras. I believe you'll get night sight on your Pixel 2 when the new camera software comes out. What it does is it goes down as low as a quarter of a second. And that means that's too slow to handheld, but it's going to take 15 frames with one press of the button. It does them very quickly, about 4 frames a second, maybe even more. Some of them are really slow exposure, really, really slow, which is on your Olympus how you would do it. You'd put it on a tripod, right? Because your hand can't hold it steady for that long. And you'd open up the lens for a longer time to let more light in. So you won't handhold a camera phone. But what they'll do is they'll take 15 frames of different exposure lengths and then look at the ones that are crisp, even the parts of the image that are crisp, and use those parts in the image. And then parts that are moving, or jiggling because of hand motion, it will use a faster shutter speed. So, the image, and if you search for Pixel 3 and Night Sight, you'll see a number of articles, and almost all of them now have comparisons. It's kind of remarkable. The other thing, of course, that camera phones don't historically do well is zoom. Optical zoom is no more than blowing the picture up, and that just makes it more pixely. But I've been very impressed with the zoom on the Pixel 3. I was able to get a zoom shot using a digital zoom that looked every bit as good as an optical zoom. So yeah, you may find your Olympus is a
I've got a pile of cameras. I almost have more cameras than you. It's bad. I'm all the way back to Leica M3s. I mean, I still have some old Rollies. I've got a lot of cameras.
So are you a pro or just an enthusiastic amateur?
I was a pro, and now I'm an enthusiastic person who likes to go out and use photography as like my relaxation.
Me too. You know, I'm not trying to take pictures for profit, but it just gives me something to do when I travel. I love to travel, and I love taking pictures when I travel. My wife and I are both avid. She's an Olympus shooter. She loves her Olympus OMD, and it's really fun. It gives you something, and it's a new way of looking at stuff. You know, I live in the audio world because of my business, so it's nice to do something that's visual, not audio, just as a change of pace. I think photography is just on the upswing. It's really exciting.
I think the new TWIP, I'd come to the studio to sit on the new TWIP.
I'd love to do it, the only reason I'm reluctant is we're, adding shows especially now where there's a glut of podcasts, is always an expensive and risky proposition. We did a photography show for a long time. We're hoping we would get some real audience generated for it, but we weren't able to. I think what happens is people go where they're going to listen to a photography podcast from DP Review rather than my podcast network. So we cover tech news, help and how to, and I think we do a good job at twit.tv, and of course this show is part of it. But there didn't seem to be much of an audience for the. Maybe that's changed though. You might be right. Maybe if we did camera phones, maybe that would make a.
Well, everybody. I mean, the one thing that I think all the members of your audience have is they all have a phone.
That's true. That's a good
more
point.
So that more so than a DSLR or a Micro Four Thirds or a full frame or any of that.
Yeah.
Everybody has a phone. Everybody's trying to make movies and do amazing things with phones.
It is truly incredible. We were talking off the air about a movie that was shot with an iPhone. Was it Unsane? We were talking about when Google announced the Pixel 3, they said we were able to get cover shots on 8 big name magazines, including Architectural Digest, shot with a Pixel 3 phone. They're good enough, that's for sure. And it's something you have in your pocket all the time. I'm defaulting to the Pixel 3 XL right now. I like iPhones, but I think the Pixel 3 is pretty amazing.
And is the Pixel 3 XL worth the jump from the Pixel 2 XL?
Well, if photography is what you care about, maybe. Although I'm really gratified that Google has decided to put a lot of these features into the Pixel 2. It also has a dedicated hardware chip for photography. So things like Night Sight will be ported down. So you'll get updated camera software that will do much of what they're doing now in the Pixel 3. I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe not. The Pixel 3 was a big upgrade in terms of the screen. the OLED screen is so much better on the Pixel 3. Nice to talk to you, old chef guy. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number. We'll take more of your calls just around the corner. Stay right here. Leo Laporte, let go my airplane? The tech guy. Thanks to Michael Cozio, our musical director. He is the best, spinning the bumper music for us. Phone number 8888-ASK. Leo, lots of calls today. Let's go to Barstow, California. Say hi to Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
No, you're Mike. I'm Leo. Hi to Mike. What can I do for you?
I'm looking for a solution. I have a device that uses both Android and iOS applications for everything but one application. And that application, I need to be able to run on an Android.
Oh, so you want an Android phone, but you want to run one iOS app on that Android phone.
Well, it's a Samsung Galaxy tablet.
Okay, Android tablet then. What's the iOS app that you want? In most cases, by the way, almost all of the big name apps are available on both platforms, but there are a few that aren't. What is the iOS app you can't get?
It's called Stage Mix.
And what does it do?
It interfaces the tablet to Yamaha TF5 mixing console.
That is exactly the kind of thing that is proprietary, that often is only on iOS. They're just going to assume you must have an iPad because, well, why wouldn't you have an iPad, right?
Well, the thing is, their monitor mix software, and some of their other software is available in both Android and iOS.
Yeah.
This particular one isn't. This is the only
All you can do is it Yamaha, you said?
It's Yamaha.
Yeah, all you could do is pester Yamaha and say, you got to make this. Maybe they're working on it. Is the mixer you're using current? They still sell it?
I'm in the process of installing it right now.
So it's brand new. You can hope that perhaps because it's brand new, they haven't yet made it. But you know, they're looking at. I'll tell you, I can speak from experience. We looked at making an app for our podcast network, and we actually spent a lot of money on it with a developer. And we wanted to do iOS and Android, and it more than doubles the cost. It's a big deal. Usually it's a separate team because people who can write for iOS aren't Android developers. Or sometimes, and this is what this company was going to do for us, they use software that works on both. They made, I guess, a bad choice of software. They never got an app running. They did, but it was so bad I couldn't possibly push it out. And we were out a lot of money. I don't want to tell you how much because it's embarrassing. So Yamaha, it's an economic decision, and they probably look and see, and they say, well, you know, almost everybody who's doing mixing on stages is using an iPad, so, you know, we're not going to do it for Android. There's also the issue of there are a lot of different Android devices. If you make it for the iPad, it's easy because, you know, only Apple makes iPads. There aren't very many. If you make it for an Android platform, you don't know what you're getting. There's also another issue, which I think they've licked in the latest versions of Android. They've been working on. Android's based on Linux. It uses a Linux kernel. And Linux has a built-in issue with latency that makes it very hard to use for real-time music applications. One of the reasons, and this is one of the big categories, is music, that iOS has a huge lead on Android and probably always will, because of this latency issue, and it's for live music applications. So it may well be that they don't feel like the Android platform is performant enough for them to even work on. So I'm just giving you all the potential reasons why they may not do it. But all you can really do is beg them. There is no way that I know of to run iOS apps on Android, period. I know that's what you really want. There's no way to do it. That's Apple's proprietary platform. It's the same reason you can't run Mac OS on a Windows machine. Well, you can, but they call it a Hackintosh for a reason. There's no Hackintosh that I know of that lets you run iOS on any Android device. It really requires Apple locks it down to a certain chipset. The difference is on Macintosh, they're using standard PC components, Intel chips and so forth. That's going to change, by the way. It's widely agreed that Apple is going to move to using its own chips on Macintosh computers, chips it designs. And when that happens in the next couple of years, I think it'll be around 2020, you won't be able to run Hackintoshes either. But they've already got that kind of lock-in on iOS. So there is no such thing. I'm sorry. You're stuck with getting yourself an iPad. The good news is new iPads come out on Tuesday, or at least will be announced on Tuesday, and that usually means a price drop for older ones. And iPads now are down to $329 for the iPad they announced earlier last year. $329, and I bet you'll be able to get one for $250 with these new announcements. Jonathan in New Jersey, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, Leo. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I was hoping you can help me. I have this weird issue with my I think it's my modem or my router, and it just happened randomly, usually on the mornings, that the wire connection drops.
Yeah.
And then it just restarts itself later in the day.
Does resetting or rebooting your router fix it?
Sometimes just by itself comes back up.
Okay.
And then
have you called your internet service provider? So the question is it you or is it your internet service provider?
Well, I call Comcast.
Oh, lovely Comcast. They say there's no way that's Comcast happening.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they actually came in, and one guy came in and he took, I guess they have some kind of a damper.
Yeah.
The cables or something like that. So he took that off. And he said that was probably one of the reasons why it was dropping. But it just keeps happening. And I noticed this because I have a Synology attached to my router, and then I start getting this.
You get alarms. Yeah, you're offline.
Yeah.
That's the beauty. Yeah. That's the beauty part of us having a NAS on your network. You're going to get alarms. Your network's down. You know, it's not unusual to see this happen on cable modem networks. at night. When everybody goes on Netflix, things tend to slow down. But actually dropping out like that, and that's different. And as long as you can isolate it to Comcast, I think it's up to them to fix. But it's hard for me to make. Hang on the line. Maybe I can make some suggestions off the air. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls right after this. So the guy, the Comcast guy, felt pretty confident it was them, right?
Yeah. So he, like I said, he took the diffuser off and everything was working fine. But one of the things that we actually end up doing is because I have a modem for the phone service only, and I have the modem for the for the connection.
Ah, you're using Comcast phone service too.
Yeah.
But yeah. Normally they do a dual system where one modem does both.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting. But you do have separate cable modems for phone for data.
Yeah, and that's how I had it set up in the past. And then I actually ended up buying because they were renting me the voice modem.
You bought it yourself. Yeah.
And then I ended up buying it, right? And now, ever since I bought it, it's just acting up.
The tech, if there were a compatibility issue, the tech should have said that and noted it. That could be. So this started when you put that voice modem, your own voice modem, on there.
Yeah, but it's interesting because I have the Plumes thanks for the suggestion. Yeah. I actually ended up getting to the Plume.
Good.
And I have my Plume connected to the voice modem and my Wi-Fi never goes down. But then my actual modem that is connected to the router, that's the one that is.
Are you using Comcast's cable modem for data or are you using your own?
I'm using my own.
Yeah. And what kind is it? An Aeris?
It's a Motorola surfboard.
Surfboard, yeah.
Yeah. And it's all, so I don't know if it has something to do with it.
Yeah. You know, they're cheap. They're under $100.
Yeah.
You might want to look at getting a DOCSIS 3 or even now you can get 3.1. Comcast isn't offering it yet, but when they do, it'd be nice to have that. Get the latest cable modem. Go to thewirecutter.com and they'll recommend cable modems for you. I think they're now recommending a Netgear. But make sure it's compatible. Comcast has a list. Maybe it's just that. It may be the modem itself is flaky. It may be an interference issue. One way to test this, and I know you don't want to do this, but one way to test this would be to disconnect the voice modem and see if the same thing's happening.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give it a try. I mean, we don't get any calls besides.
Okay, if you don't get any calls, just disconnect one of them and just see if the same. Does it happen consistently every single morning or?
No, it's random. And again, it's just because I noticed because I get the alarm from technology.
The Plumes also will give you that. And
And I was getting those initially, and then when I end up plugging the Plume to just a regular voice modem, is working fine. I never get a connection drop with the Wi-Fi, but it's with the other modem that I'm getting the issue. So,
yeah, I mean, it's interesting that the tech didn't do anything but take off the dampers. I feel like he was checking signal strength and all that, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's how he realized that there was something, there was something weird. And there goes the phone.
You said you didn't get any calls.
It's working.
I would. It's working. I would try what you got to do is troubleshoot by eliminating things.
Yep.
But ultimately, it's under $100 to get a new cable modem. That might, if it's an old one, that might be the solution.
Okay. I'll give it a try.
All right. Sorry, I can't help you more. Chat room might have some suggestions for you or post it on the website.
I'm on it right now.
Yeah, it's complicated. That's a complicated configuration, so hard to know. Good luck.
Thank you very much, Leo.
All right, great to talk to you.
All right.
Take care, Jonathan.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I happen to like my automobile. 8888-ASK-LEO. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Back to the phones we go. Line 3, Brett, Woodbridge, New Jersey. Hello, Brett.
Hello, Leo. I'm calling about my sister's iMac desktop because I updated her software and ever since her OS. And ever since I did that, Now it just freezes up.
Oh, no. Is she yelling at you?
Again.
Saying, what did you do to my computer, Brett?
I should have never updated it.
Never help anybody. Sometimes we'll have geeks come in here wearing a T-shirt saying, no, I will not fix your computer. Because it's just a recipe for disaster. Even if everything goes well, you don't get that much gratitude, and they're going to call you in a day or two if something goes wrong. You're now responsible. It's like saving somebody's life. You're now responsible for them. What would happen? Okay, you updated it to Mojave, the latest version of Mac OS. Is that what you did?
Yeah, but then the OS before that did the same thing, but the one before that, it never happened. It's only
so here's one. Here's my almost, I bet you this is it. And it's because she's able to log in, right? But then it freezes up.
No, it freezes at the login screen.
And at the login screen. Yeah. So I would suggest unplugging any USB devices on that thing except for the keyboard and mouse. And just see if then she can log in. I've seen this.
The keyboard and mouse.
It doesn't have any external hard drives or anything like that?
No, she doesn't have anything else hooked up.
Oh, rats. I thought I was so smart. All right. Because I've seen that happen with Macs and PCs, but it seems like a little more often now with the latest Mac OS that when it boots up, it's looking at all the hard drives, and it can actually hang on the login screen as it's trying to get all the hard drives to say hello. But you don't have multiple hard drives. You're sure there's nothing else plugged in there but a keyboard and mouse?
No, nothing else is plugged in.
So now you have to go through the standard Macintosh diagnostics. So the first thing to do is, how old an iMac is it? Do you know?
Probably 5 years, okay. Maybe.
First thing to do is to reset the parameter RAM. And what you'll do is you'll reboot. Does she have data on that drive she does not want to lose?
Yeah.
Okay, so no, that's all right. Don't worry. Nothing's lost. I guess the first thing I do is shut down reset the SMC, because this is the easiest thing to do. So shut it down. Can you shut it down, or is it just frozen?
What do you mean, shut it down when?
Well, you're sitting at the login screen. Do you have any ability to shut it down, or is it just completely hung?
No, I'm not in front of the computer now. Why? You want me to go in front of the computer?
No, not while we're on the radio. It takes too long. But I'm going to give you a list of things to try. One thing is, if it won't, by the way, if you can't use the mouse to shut it down, then just press and hold the on-off button until it shuts itself off. Unplug the power cord. Wait a while. What you're doing here is resetting the SMC. And by the way, system management controller, this reset is different on every kind of Mac. On most iMacs, this is how you do it. It's a little weird. Unplug the power cord. Wait 15 seconds. Then you attach the power cord, wait 5 seconds, then you turn on the computer. That's not going to fix it.
But
this is just one thing to try. The other one is shut it down. If that doesn't work, shut it down and hold Command, Option, P, and R. That's four keys all at the same time. Command, Option, Command's the funny fan key. P and R, hold that down. And you're going to hear the bong, hear it a couple of times, and then let go. And what you're doing there is clearing the parameter RAM that stores information about the hardware. These are two different things that every Mac user is familiar with and has probably tried. They sometimes work. They sometimes work, sometimes not. The next step would be to turn the computer all the way off again for the third time, and then hold Command R when you're rebooting it. That's the reset key, and it'll allow you to reinstall the operating system. Maybe it just didn't install properly. So it'll bring you to a screen that says, don't erase the drive. She's got data on there, but it'll say, install Mac OS X Mojave, and go through that process. If none of that works, the good news is there's an Apple Store in Edison. And I think It might be appropriate to take it down there. They're pretty good about at least walking through some of these steps. They'd probably do at least those three things. And then if not, they may identify another problem, and then she might have a repair bill. But usually they'll at least try a few of those things. Chat room's also saying it might not be a bad idea to boot to safe mode, which is this is the fourth thing. Shut it all the way down again. Press and hold the shift key and turn it on and keep holding it till it boots up. That is a safe mode boot that will not install a lot of drivers and stuff. If it turns out that some of the things on her machine are incompatible with the new operating system, that would be a very good way to turn those off. And if it starts up then you got to figure out what the compatibility is. Because you don't want to, you know, she doesn't want to have to do that every single time. Wow, it's complicated, isn't it? But give those things a try, and then from now on, get that T-shirt that says, "No, I will not fix your computer." Wyatt, Muncie Valley, Pennsylvania. Hello, Wyatt.
Hi, how are you today?
Marvy, how are you?
I am well, thank you. So I do a little Monday night Facebook Live thing, and I have a number of people following me.
What do you talk about?
Well, I do a ministry outreach that used to be all CDs going out all over the country to truck drivers. And now that CDs aren't in trucks very much anymore, I'm trying to stay relevant and, you know.
What a great idea.
Folks.
Yeah, you should have a Monday night fellowship over Facebook Live.
I do, and it's a variety type thing, so it's not like preaching and all that. It's just good dialogue, and I do a lot of Q&A, a lot of answering questions.
Is it just for truck drivers?
No, by no stretch of imagination. That's just what it started out to be 15 years ago. And, just called it Highways and Byways, not very imaginative.
So it's facebook.com/highwaysandbyways, is that where it is?
Right.
Well, what can I do to help you? What a great idea. I love this.
Well, thank you very much. Well, here's what's going on. I'm limited tech wise, but I'm working at it, and I've moved up over the years, you know, and trying to stay keep up with things. So now I'm doing this Facebook Live, and I'd really like to put some video clips in.
Yeah.
And, I already figured out how to run some audio clips in through my soundboard, and I can play them for folks to listen to. But I really want to step it up, you know, a little bit and be able to run some video clips. And here's the real big thing, to put some text up there while I'm talking and have it prepared ahead of time. The way I'm doing it right now is I put it on a Word document, I copy and paste it into my comments, and people are getting it that way. But I'd really like to step it up.
So I really like it. It comes from the folks at Livestream, a thing called the Mevo, M-E-V-O camera.
Okay.
And it comes with software that that will let you, one of the great things about it is it's a camera with its own audio. It'll follow you around. It has its own kind of director tool that runs on iOS or Android. And it'll let you do a lot of these things you're talking about. It's at getmevo.com. It's not free, but it's a very good camera. And I think the software, I would look, but I'm pretty sure the software will allow you to do all of those things like titles, lower thirds, additional video. And it's pretty slick. Getmevo.com. There is other third-party software I have not tried that supposedly will, you know, let you roll in video and stuff like that. Chat room, any suggestions? I'm not, the Mevo stuff is great for live video, but you can add graphics. You can, by the way, do more than Facebook Live. You could do other platforms like Livestream and Vimeo. YouTube Live, that's pretty cool. I feel like this is the most sophisticated solution. It's not hugely expensive, but it's not cheap either. I think it's $500 for the Mevo Plus. But that's about what a camera would cost, a decent camera would cost. Now, I like the idea of being able to put it on YouTube at the same time as you put it on Facebook. See, that would be kind of cool. You stream in high def. You record in 4K. It does support Wi-Fi. It also supports local recording. I have one of these, and I've only used it a couple of times. And now that I'm not on Facebook, I have no opportunity to use that at all. Our show podcast today brought to you by, well, actually in many ways brought. If you're watching after the fact on our site, you're watching JW Player. That's the most powerful, most flexible HTML5 video platform, and it's the platform we've used at Twit for a long time because we can white label it. It doesn't have to say YouTube or some other company in the lower corner there. We can control exactly how it works. It's really the best way to watch video. And, you know, if you watch video online, you've been watching JW Player. The best, everybody uses it. Washington Post, Business Insider, Vice. And the thing is, you won't see, you don't know. You can tell, I'll give you a little trick. It's certainly true on our video. If you right-click on it, you can see the About box, and it'll say JW Player. 500,000 websites rely on JW Player to deliver video to their audiences. And frankly, if you are putting video on your website, you should use it too. Whether you're a small business that wants your own branding, not YouTube's branding on it, to a big publisher and you want to maximize your video ad fill rates and your CPMs, JW Player has a solution for every business. I talked to JW on Triangulation a couple of months ago. Great guy. And really, that's a lot of what they're talking about these days is ad insertion and getting around ad blockers and so forth. If you're ready to take control and upgrade your video experience, here's what JW Player brings to the table. It's the fastest player. He was saying people have gotten so impatient. Used to be you'd wait for a video to start 10 seconds, 20, maybe not 20, but 10 seconds. He said the drop rate after 3 seconds is like 50%. If you don't start right away, people go, I'll go see another video. So they've worked really hard to make this no buffering, instant launch. It's completely customizable to match your brand. That's one of the reasons we love it. With a great API, we love that too. You get a video CMS for uploading and managing your videos. You get a powerful and easy-to-use suite of APIs to enhance player functionality and get video analytics. Very important to us. If you run video ads, you can maximize your fill rates and CPMs. They do a lot of very smart, very effective stuff. Visit jwplayer.com/twit. We love it. Use the code TWIT at checkout. 50% off. Wait a minute. Am I reading that right? 50% off your business subscription. Holy cow. This is a very limited time exclusive offer, so don't delay. jwplayer.com/twit. Use the code TWIT at checkout and get 50% off your business subscription. That's a heck of a deal. jwplayer.com/twit. We thank them so much. For years, we've been using it on the TWIT site. Many years. But, man, they're giving you a great deal. Maybe we can get in on that deal. jwplayer.com/twit. Use the offer code TWIT. We thank them for their support of TWIT and the Tech Guy podcast. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. We're discoing. And you know when we disco, we always like to do it with the king of disco, Mads Maddestreiter, our very own gizmo wizard, Dick D. Bartolo. Hi, Dickie D.
Leo, how you doing?
I am very, very well. I am very, good. Very well.
Good.
How are things in Disneyland? Is it snowing?
Well, you know, we're getting the end of a nor'easter here.
Oh.
And so the winds were high. The tides were incredibly high. Fortunately, I have a drop cam on my camera,
on my boat. Yeah.
I have one piling that's very short. And at high tide, I'm going, no.
Are you afraid it'll, tear its moorings off?
You know what? During Sandy, Dennis and I snuck down because the park was closed, and the one of the four rings that holds my boat in place rode up and off the piling.
What? That's a dumb design. I guess that's better than sinking the boat, though.
Yeah. And as a miracle, when the tide went out, the piling caught the ring on the way down.
Oh, my goodness. So it was like a basket.
Yes.
Nothing but net. Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, it was impressive. Of course, a lot of the other docks, pilings didn't come down evenly, and they went through the docks, and they sunk one boat.
Wow.
Anyway, Photo Expo is in town, Photo Plus.
Oh, you know me. I love the photos.
I know you do. Yeah. But, you know, I look for the lower price things that I can understand. So when Fuji sent me a press release that they're introducing an instant print camera.
Can I have that disease where you don't understand anything that costs too much?
Yeah.
I need that.
No, because I don't have it with boats. When it comes to boats.
Uh-huh. Yep. I understand expensive boats, he says.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want the doorknob with the anchor on it? It's $10,000 extra. Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't?
This is a low-price product.
Low price compared to what they were showing, $10,000 cameras.
Yeah.
And so Fuji sends me an email that their new instant print camera can do video.
Ooh.
And I'm thinking, now that's got to print like 30 pictures a second. So this has got to be something amazing. So when I got there and I said, where's this video? They said, well, wait a minute. The press release is a little over the top. What we do, we have a new instant camera that shoots 15 seconds of video that you can view. You can save to the camera, save to the SD card, but you obviously can't print it. What you can do is use our little jog dial to print the best picture.
Oh, but that's okay. You can't print video. That'd be crazy.
I was hoping for that.
Wow.
I like crazy.
It's moving. Like crazy. It's amazing.
It's moving. Yeah. So this new camera is called the Square SQ20. It was released on October 20th. I see Amazon's going to have it in stock starting in November. It has some other tricky things. It uses their new 2.4 by 2.4 square instant film.
Is that Instax?
Yes, exactly. Okay. It's the Instax line, and they're coming out with one from Perry. What is the star?
Tyler Perry?
Perry. Perry model.
Yeah, okay.
So this would sell
a little better than the Tyler Perry model.
Exactly.
Although he could make a movie on one of these and print it out.
There you go. Yeah. But it has like 16, you can make a collage.
It's so funny that Polaroid, basically this is Polaroid film.
No, absolutely. And Leah, so a couple of years ago, I said, what is the market for this? So a few years ago, they said it was kids.
The kids
don't know Polaroid. This time I said, is it still kids? And they said, well, it's people who want instant pictures at like weddings, at parties, at office events.
Right.
It's a way to print those. And the film's a little more expensive if you buy a single pack. A single pack is $15 for 10 pictures.
Wow.
So now it's $1.50. But I searched on Amazon, and there are people selling two packs of the square film for $20. So it brings it back down to a buck. That's sort of been the price for quite some time now.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. So Instax is kind of cool.
Instax SQ20, because there are like six Instax now.
It shoots square pictures.
Yes, yeah.
And it shoots square video.
But it doesn't print people.
Exactly. for squares.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Nice.
Exactly.
Dick is a round peg in a square hole, which fits
correct.
Better than a square peg in a round hole. So
I've tried both. I don't judge.
Gizwiz.biz is his website. You have not yet posted this on your site, Dick.
I have not. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Okay.
He'll put it up there.
It'll be live in about 2 seconds.
Yeah, click the button that says the Gizwiz visits the tech guy. But, you know, while you're there, there's so much other stuff. It's so much fun to visit, Dick, including it looks like you're wearing a plate of food on your head. That's a new game.
Oh my God! Yes, Chow Crown. silly games are big.
Chow crown.
Crown. You put food on forks and it spins on your head and you have to eat it as it goes.
Watch the video at kisswiz.biz. Play the What the Heck Is It game. You'll have only till Halloween to get a chance to win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. There's also gizwiz.tv, his podcast. Dickie D, always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. The same. And I will see you next week.
On the morrow. Or next week. Okay. Whichever, whatever on the morrow means.
So, seven morrows from now.
Seven morrows. On seven morrows.
Thank you.
Take care. Last call of the day, Peter in Toronto. Hello, Peter.
Hey, Leo. Long time fan. Thank you. When you used to do the show up here. So.
I did. I love Toronto. I miss it. What can I do for you?
Just a quick question. I just recently upgraded my iPhone to iOS version 12.0.1.
Yes.
And I'm finding, I don't know if it's the version, but the text messages don't go through all the way right away. And I Googled it. And
so you're sending messages to people and they're not getting them?
Well, it's slow. It just, it gets stuck. You're getting...
You know, I think the first thing to do is call your carrier. Is it Rogers or who's the phone company?
I'm with Rogers.
Yeah. I think that's the first thing to do because they're the ones handling it. Now, messages, if it will, it has two ways of sending. They can send it as a text, you know, traditional SMS text message through Rogers, but they can also use your data. And it may be that the data, are you on Wi-Fi when it's slow?
Oh, I don't have a problem if I do use like WhatsApp or...
You don't have a problem. Okay, issues. Good. So it's just this messages program. I wonder, you know, is it only with certain people or is it with everybody?
Everybody.
Everybody. And when you say slow, you'll press send and then how long?
Like up to 3 minutes.
Yikes.
Yeah.
That ain't no good.
Yeah. Do I see a green bar at the top of the...
Have you rebooted the phone just to make sure
I turned off iMessage and turned it off, rebooted.
Yeah, rebooted.
Yeah.
You maybe call whoever you got the phone from, whether it's Apple or Rogers. And it might be related to a Rogers issue. I'm not sure. Out of time, unfortunately. I want to thank you all for being here. Thanks to Michael Cozio, our musical director. Kim Schaffer, the phone answerer. Thanks to you for joining me. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Have a great Geek Week. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, security and security now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guy Show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time. Yeah, I wonder. Lisa and I have been seeing delayed messages on T-Mobile. Scooter X is saying AT&T is famous for this. So I'm wondering.
They upgraded recently.
Yeah, I'm wondering. But you didn't have this problem before you went to iOS 12.
Never. It just when I went to iOS 12. So.
And you have turned the phone all the way off and on again.
Oh, yeah. I've rebooted.
Lately, on all my phones, I've had to reboot frequently. And I feel like there are issues with these phones.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm looking in the chat room and seeing if anybody has any suggestions. It seems like... I have to say, it feels like this has been happening with phone systems lately.
Yeah,
and I don't know if it's iOS 12. I feel like it was happening even before iOS 12. But maybe there is an issue with iOS 12.
Yeah, but you, at the top, I'd never seen it before. But there's a bar
that says like sending.
Sending like when you send an email or something.
Yeah,
and it's not
trying to send. It's trying to send.
Yeah, eventually it does.
If you're sending, and you're sending in most cases to people with iPhones?
Yes.
So then that's using data. It's not using SMS when you send to an iPhone.
Oh, no. Well, I have, no, it's mainly, no, this is, I've seen it with more with
With Android users.
Android.
Okay, so if it's Android, then it is Rogers. It's SMS.
Yeah.
So, because it can't use messages, obviously, to send to Android, there is no messages. So it uses SMS. It doesn't use data. So that means the Rogers network may be slow to respond. And it may also be, is it the same wherever you are, or is it worse in some areas?
It has nothing to do with signal strength or anything.
Okay.
I
don't think this is an issue with iOS. I think it's an issue with Rogers.
Okay, well, I'll call them. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. I know. That show I did was with Rogers.
Yeah, I know you.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Long time ago. I enjoyed watching
it. I miss it. They finally took it off, which is actually good because we haven't made a show in 10 years. And then we're still showing 10-year-old shows. Amber MacArthur there was a show that kept getting aired in reruns, and I'd hear from people. Amber MacArthur came, would say, "Leo, I found the greatest news site. It's called YouTube. It's just fantastic." And people were saying, "You just discovered YouTube?" Yeah, 10 years ago.
I used to enjoy it.
And it was fun.
I used to watch it before that in the satellite dish.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I miss doing that. It was a lot of fun going up there, and I really got to know Toronto pretty well. And of course, I had many friends up there. Then they moved it to Vancouver, and I loved Vancouver too.
Yeah.
I've got a soft spot in my heart for Canada, that's for sure. Well, yeah, I would guess if it's mostly happening with Android people, that you don't get that with iPhone people. That's an important bit of data.
Okay.
If it goes through pretty quickly with iPhones and it doesn't go through very quickly with Android, and it's almost always that way, and you should kind of start noticing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it uses a different path for Android phones. It's using Rogers network. Other iPhones, it uses the data. It either uses cellular data or Wi-Fi data. So that's completely different. And maybe I think SMS is getting worse because they don't want anybody to use SMS, right?
Yeah.
So I think that maybe, you know, these phone companies, because the same thing's happening to my wife on T-Mobile, and Scooter X says it's happening to him on AT&T. I feel like this is the cell phone companies wanting to give up on SMS.
Yeah, but it's getting more popular.
Well, more people are texting, but now they're not texting with this SMS network goes over the phone, over the voice network. It's really crappy. They want to move everything to LTE and data, and it'll be much more reliable. And I bet you that's the process right now.
That's where I heard about like WhatsApp and stuff. Like,
yeah, WhatsApp. You don't have any problem with it, right? It goes right through.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's data.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's good. I mean, but not everybody uses WhatsApp, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Got to get everybody to use WhatsApp, and then everything will be fine.
No, but it was funny because I just heard, I'm old school. I go, okay, I'll just get my phone and start texting. But then my niece goes, I talked to one of my friends in Europe, everything. Try this WhatsApp, and
They really love it in Europe. It's very popular.
Yeah.
Because it's for historic reasons, SMS was very, very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Well, even up here now, we don't get unlimited plans.
Oh, you don't?
No, I got to pay for U.S. tax.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Well, it's really good to talk to you, Peter. I appreciate it. Thanks for your support in Toronto.
Yeah.
I want to get up to Massey Hall someday soon and go back. I saw some great shows there. Man, I love Massey Hall. All right. We'll talk later.
Thanks.
See ya. Bye.
Take care.